Coming to you live from Ghost Island, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's here to say, I want those pastries. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to coverage of our 32nd best season of Survivor. We're talking about Survivor Ghost Island, Survivor 36. And we're here to talk about it all. And we've got a great panel. I'm really fired up for this one to talk about everything from season 36, Ghost Island of Survivor. All right. Very excited to have with me for the first time here to talk about one of these seasons on the panel. Of course, you could hear her every week during the Survivor B&B, of course. It's Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Thanks. It's actually been so long since I've talked about the Survivor, like, at all. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I'm getting to dip my toes back in the water with Ghost Island of all seasons, can we reverse the curse on the season? I think we'll find out tonight.
Yes, one bad decision can haunt you forever. That's the theme of Ghost Island. And let's talk about whether or not that theme will haunt Survivor Ghost Island as we get ready to talk about it all. Of course, Liana and Mike Bloom did the B&B during Survivor Ghost Island. Of course, Liana has many other podcast accomplishments, including currently hosting the RuPaul's Drag Race for Hap Up, the Masked Singer, which is about to come back, the Masked Dancer, and many others here. Very excited to have you here, Liana. I'm also very excited to have here with us to talk about Survivor Ghost Island. Very excited to have Phil T is here. Phil, how are you?
Wow, Rob, you flatter me. Ooh, Ghost Island, baby. We're here to talk about Survivor Season 36.
Yes.
And I don't talk about Survivor often, so this will be fun to talk with Rob, you know, and Liana, my favorite scientist. One time, Kellen Bechtold said that Amelia Earhart was her favorite scientist. So I'm happy to be here with my favorite scientist, Liana Boris.
Yes.
Talk about Ghost Island.
And Phil, you are connected to this season in a lot of ways. Many of your wand-off hits came during Survivor Ghost Island. I was watching along and I said, oh, damn, Chris, that throw was great.
Rob, it's Dude Chris.
Oh, Dude Chris. Oh, like, sorry about that.
You know, I get that so much of like, Dude Chris, like, this is the joke. And like, you know, it makes me feel like a one-hit wonder. It makes me feel washed up, actually. So you're out there and you think it'll be funny to tweet Dude Chris at me. Actually, still do it because
yeah, you
love
would love
the
it.
Attention.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is like the spawn of my Wandoff career. You know, it was this season has been like a very sentimental thing for me just because, like, you know, it was my first KIA, you know, we saw Desiree get eliminated.
I was in Boston.
Very drunk in Boston, baby. You know, I saw Liana Boris across the room, too shy to say hi to her because she's, you know, famous at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just Phil T. You know, and then, you know, I got in a big fight with DJ LaBelle Klein. Then we made up. We're friends now. If anyone's still following that storyline. And, you know, I don't know. I just very sentimental towards this season. You know, love me some Josh Wiggler, love me some Michael Yerger, love me some, no, which is weird, right? That's a weird poll. I did not.
All right, Phil, you're a little all over the place right now. We're all excited.
I'm riled up.
Yes. Okay. Josh Wiggler was the first person to ever stay over at Ghost Island. Of course, had a great night at Ghost Island, captured in first one out as we kicked off this season, Survivor Ghost Island. And this was one I have to say I was not really excited to go back and visit. I felt like that of these recent seasons, I felt like Ghost Island, I feel like that's going to be like a little bit of a slog, but I have to say that I really enjoyed it here on the binge. And I really am wondering if, like, as we've gone through these seasons, if one, like, we're probably way too hard on modern day Survivor, like in the real time. But I do feel like that also these seasons play a lot better on the binge. Liana, what did you think as you went through the binge of Ghost Island this week?
So for me, I also, similar to Phil, have very fond memories of Ghost Island. I feel like that's when Mike and I really found our footing with the B&B. And Ghost Island, as much as maybe some of the strategy is not there, there's a lot of memes. There's a, you know, there's some crazy characters that we'll get into. And so we had a really fabulous time going through it. Upon the binge, upon the rewatch, I will say those super fun moments were still there, but I think I maybe remembered them a little bit more fondly. And so there was a, you know, a bit of time where I'm just like, yeah. Coral, can we make a move, please? But you know what? Knowing that it was going to happen felt a little bit easier to stomach.
Yeah. Phil, how about for you?
I don't know. I really
can we reverse
well.
The curse on the season?
Oh, that it's so much fun to me. Like, I know that there's like this big, like, what are they doing thematically of like heroes versus hustlers? And then there was Ghost Island. Then there was David. They were just trying a lot of stuff. Love the hamminess of like them, like inserting, like whoever's writing the copy of like every time they're like reading the idols, it's like, oh, are you going to reverse the curse of this dumb idiot in the past that made a mistake? Like, and also like, poor Eric and like everybody that they're just like,
they got redemption
roasting. Like, yeah, you guys are so bad at the game and you probably already feel bad about making these decisions, but let's just rehash it. It's fine. It's hilarious. It's comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yes. Ghost Island, the idea, the, you know, and it's an interesting idea of like, can we like make our props the star of the season? Can we take, like, if you go to the Survivor Playground, we're not changing location. We're in Fiji forever. Okay. But what could we do a season around Survivor's most famous artifacts and then turn those into sort of like a super objects that can be found in the season where, and nobody likes the idols, but what if we like, but what about this idol, huh? The stick. Remember the stick? Remember James's thing? You like that? I do think that part of the problem is after the stick and James's idol from China, like, I think we ran out of beloved artifacts very quickly.
I think I remember Mike and I did a draft of what the items would be. And by the time we get to the fact that they had to repick the steal a vote and put it back into the game for a second time, where, you know, it's Michaela's vote, I believe. No, whose vote was it? See, it's such a blur for me. Yeah. But anyway, it goes back into the game. And so I think, yeah, maybe a little bit of the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah. Like, I felt like that when we were getting into like stuff that was like misused, like the idol that JT didn't play in Game Changers or the idol that Ty found in Survivor Ko Rong, I felt like, boy, that maybe there weren't as many things that we could really like create this backstory on as you would have initially thought.
I think that was
part of one of the issues here, where it's like, oh, remember when David Wright played a fake immunity idol on Jay? Let's bring that back. Like, that needs a second act. That was like, some of these things were sort of like the Haley Ford is on Survivor Game Changers. Okay, you know, sort of like that. I don't know if these things were all stars that needed to come back.
Like, who is clamoring for some of these things? Like, really, if you're going to make a list of those moments, which, you know, I don't know what that says about Survivor mistakes. Like, were there just not enough? Or are these the ones that contained artifacts? Because, of course, the object itself has to go to Ghost Island to mature, although some of them don't mature at all. Like the David's fake idol, for example, apparently did not mature. So I don't know what happened there with the powers of Ghost Island. But definitely some odd choices for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all the narrative stuff about people, like about the idols, like taking on a life of their own and maturing and like literally like being possessed, is like, that's the kind of like corny stuff I love about this season. And it's just like really interesting to go back and watch that.
Also, like, the idea is that things, when they don't get used, go to Ghost Island and then they get powers. But also things that you find randomly around the camp also are like, oh, I just found Andrea's idol. That's amazing. And now it has these powers now because I found it. Like, it really should have been like one or the pick a lane here. Are the things on Ghost Island, or are they just, you're also going to find random recycled artifacts around?
Right, because that, so I sort of had it categorized as like the items you get from Ghost Island and then just like other ghost item or ghost island like type items, because even I think it was Wendell who found Eric's necklace, but that was just like hanging out on the on the island. That was not a ghost island theme, but like it still fits the whole concept of it's matured and you need to reverse the curse.
Yeah, I do feel like that overall one of my biggest takeaways here in terms of and I like to sort of like give the flowers up front, but I feel like that the overall like ghost island like you know, it was from an aesthetic. Okay, it was good, but just like set everything about like going to Ghost Island. What a waste of time! Somebody's going to Ghost Island. Go to the bathroom because you could just come back in 2 minutes. They get to eat there. They get to make rice. I'm sure Reem is, if she's rewatching the season, like, dude, are you kidding me? You go to Ghost Island. You get to eat. There's a bed. I mean, it was like a nice thing. There was like, oh, you're gonna be away from your tribe for a little bit. But sometimes they went to tribal council without you when you were to go to Stylin.
Yeah. I mean multiple people, it seemed like a strenuous adventure. Like multiple people were crying on Ghost Island, Rob. Like
but they were crying. They were crying because it was all like, all right, like a producer was like, what are you thinking about right now? And it was just like, and I think that this is a big problem in the modern Survivor seasons where like it's, we get a lot of backstory, but it's a lot of like exposition of like, I'm on Ghost Island and it reminds me that, hey, at this point in my life that I've been through a lot. And they just like sort of like have like a word salad of just like about hardship. But everybody's relatable story is like almost very similar, and I feel like that somebody like Jenna will tell her life story, and like a minute later, I don't remember it because it's just a collection of words.
It's like you know, if they just dumped out sort of the word bag, right, and then just like grabbed them all and put them in a different order. And and I think also it felt very disconnected. Like, don't get me wrong, when they announced it was Ghost Island, and then I'm somebody who doesn't like to take Survivor too seriously, I got very, very, very excited, and the stupidness of Ghost Island still makes me happy. But when the majority of the time they go to Ghost Island and it says not today, no game for you,
right, and then half the time it was like, okay, well, like you don't get to play a game, so just sit here and eat the rice. It's like, well, why did we follow the action here?
And tell us your life story, don't forget.
And like tell us about like you know, what's going on back home. It just it did nothing. I mean, like, what was the best Ghost Island moment of the season?
Jacob Derwin doing
Jacob Derwin. Yeah, Jacob Derwin got to go there, and he got the legacy advantage that he didn't even get to keep. great, the legacy advantage. You get to send it. He sent it to Morgan, who could not reverse the curse.
All right, let me see what I have.
I think the best one is Chris Noble went in the middle of the night. I think that was it.
Yeah. I think that's it for me too, which is so funny because it's not even about the part where he's on Ghost Island. It's about the fact that he had to sneak to Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. Who cares like where he was actually going?
Is this the first iteration of someone sneaking away to an island a la like Vince from IOI or like, you know, like where else are people sneaking away in the night?
Yeah, I think
like,
that's
when Survivor gets exciting.
I think that might be one of the first ones where somebody goes on a secret mission at nighttime. I think that might be Chris Noble might have got it
Chris
started
Noble.
Here.
Innovator, baby. This is what this is the hill I will die on.
Yeah, tonight. He is an innovator. So ultimately, like, I don't know if we could redeem the theme of Ghost Island. I don't think that we need to like bring this back. I tend to not like on Survivor seasons where we do different, like, oh, you get to go this place and then see if you come back with an advantage. So that's not working for me. But I do feel like the thing that was working for me on this rewatch was that I know in the real time, people were so frustrated about, is Laurel gonna make a move? Leon, and you touched on it also, but I really felt like that the reason why you feel that way, I think, is because of Laurel is really good as a narrator, and I think that she's really good at describing exactly the situation that she's in. And unfortunately for Laurel, like, I don't know if she had a good option the whole way, and she's frustrated too, and she's talking about her frustration and does it in a really good way that like illustrates like where she is. And I think people were like, well, just do something. And I thought it was a, like, again, I thought that this was really good of like going back and like, you know where it's going and to be able to watch mm-hmm. it. Like, I really feel like between Laurel, Dominic, and Wendell, like all three of them, I think are really good players. And this is a season that's like super top heavy where we spend a lot of time with our big characters. Like basically it's a show about five people. It's Dominic, Wendell, Laurel, Donathan, Kellen, and throw in Michael Yerger. That's it. That's your main cast. And everybody else, they are the background players.
And then Chris Noble in the beginning until he gets voted
Chris
out.
Noble. Chris Noble gets, yeah, he gets some. But then,
right.
It's because he's a secondary player to the Dominic story, though, too, right? So
he's like, and featuring Chris Noble. Like, that's the show. And everybody else is almost like, you know, don't even like bother learning their names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's only like a supporting character in that narrative because he's harmless. Like, right? Like, he has this beef with Dominic, but he can never get anything going because he has no idea what to do in the game. And that's why it's fun to watch, because it's like he has this grudge. He's tunnel visioned on Dominic for the entire time that he's there. But like, he's handed like a golden opportunity, like at his tribal council, like he has an idol. He can stay if he just knew what to do, and he just had no knowledge of what to do, and he just goes out. Like there is a contingent of people that would have worked with him, and like they could have got Dominic, but he just doesn't know yet. So it's just like, it's a sad tale for my boy.
Yeah. Chris Noble was fantastic. I think he adds so much to the season. I really just was thought coming in, I felt like, oh, that the post merge is just going to be such a slog to get through. But I really thought that every vote was interesting. I didn't really think that there was even like a dud of an episode, because I thought it was really interesting just to watch like all of the different games that were going on between that. You had Dominic and Wendell who were trying to play Kellen, of trying to say like, hey, we've got this thing going on where Navidi's strong, and Kellen is all in on that because she feels like, yeah, Dominic and Wendell, you know, those idiots, they don't realize that I've got this whole women's thing going on where I've got Dez and Chelsea in my back pocket. That so yeah, let's get rid of the Malolos, and then we'll flip the script on what Dom and Wendell, and then we'll get the jump on them. And then Dom and Wendell, they are all really saying like, what Kellen doesn't know is that we've actually got Laurel and Donathan ready to go. And Laurel and Donathan are like sort of playing double agent of like, they're in with Malolo and like, hey, it's not fair, Navidi won't let us get in. Like, I just thought that there was something going on the whole way through. And then it's just very interesting. And you see in the real time, Laurel's like, I don't know how to get around this, that I trust the guys and I want to work with them. I can't beat them. But if I jump, I'm not going to get to the end with these people because I don't have a relationship with them.
Okay. So I'm of two minds about this, because the part of me that sees all of those pieces had a fabulous time.
Yes.
Especially because if you actually go through Laurel's thought process and Laurel's decision making, never does it make sense for her to flip. Right? Because if she feels like super in and good with that group of four, and then that group of four goes far, for her to flip over to the girls, which would have been Angela, Kelsey, or Chelsea. I'm sitting and Kellen, then she's at the bottom of that. And mm-hmm. so that's not necessarily advantageous for her. On the other hand, I think the editing definitely does her a disservice, because the number of times, and I like started counting them out, that she says, and I think it's in actually right after the merge episode, when she talks about like, when am I going to flip? When am I going to make the move? When am I going to flip? And so as a viewer that's not like super paying attention to everything else, that just gets beaten into your head. And you're just like, yeah, well, when are you going to make a move?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, there's two perspectives there.
But nobody is like, hey, Angela, Why didn't you make a move? Why don't you flip on Dominic and Wendell? And it's because Laurel is so good at narrating the situation that she gets she got a lot of airtime talking about like knowing what the situation was. And I really feel like that the fans and production dragged her for this. And I just feel like that, like I'll always be a Laurel defender. I know she gets so much hate from people, but that you have this game where she was up against, like two of these incredible, like alpha male players that have like all sorts of different ways in which the game is like really plays into their strong suits. They were Unbreakable. And that also we get like the final four fire making. On top of that, these guys are finding advantages. They're winning challenges. And it was like the fans and production were like, why didn't you stop this, Laurel? This was on you, Laurel.
You one singular person.
Yeah, it's like these guys have like are immunity and have idols at every single tribal council. They're winning all these challenges. I think probably like was betting like, okay, well maybe they'll get into a fight at some point. Maybe they'll break up. They didn't. And she's like, okay, worst case scenario, maybe that they'll split some votes and I got a chance to get the Malolo people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does definitely get like an unfair share of the blame for not taking down those guys. But like, you know, how are you going to take down like their bond and their friendship is so genuine. That's so valuable in Survivor that like you can't dismantle that by yourself. And I think that she definitely gets a lot of the blame just because like episode to episode, she's basically saying she's so perceptive of like where she is in the game. Like you're saying, like. It feels like she's teasing us a little bit where she's like,
yes,
I need to get these guys out. I need to get these guys out. This is the time. This is the time. And then something else happens and they stay.
Yeah.
So it's like, it always feels like that she's teasing us a little bit.
Yeah. It's like a relationship where it's like, you know, are we going to do this? Like, oh no, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. Like you always say that. You always say we'll do it tomorrow. We never do it. We never flip.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like big move, blue balls, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's just
God.
It never happens. And the thing is that the one time where I think she actually like legitimately could have potentially made sense was when to flip over with the women and go with Kellen.
At what number?
I think that was, what was that?
Who
was
went
that
out?
Chelsea? I think that's when Chelsea, that's when so Chelsea that's the gets
final,
voted out.
The final... eight, I think. Yeah.
Four or five. Yeah. So that's at the final eight. And so essentially what happens is that Donathan and Laurel are in the middle of sort of this split group where it's Sebastian, for some reason, Sebastian, right? Sebastian, Dominic and Wendell. And then on the other hand is the three ladies of Chelsea, Kellen and Angela.
And the family visit happens in that episode and Sebastian wins the family visit and then brings only the guys for the family visit. And then Kellen is like, hey, this is not right.
Did we expect anything less from Seabass?
Oh my God, Seabass.
Oh, what a dream boat. What an absolute... What an absolute goofy guy. I love the man.
Yeah.
Stony baloney, eat a bagel, all that jazz.
Yeah.
He's a happy, smiley, giggly piece of Laffy Taffy.
So many quotes.
Oh, like, yeah.
This is like, okay, maybe, you know, it's not the toughest competition out there on this season. You got Sebastian, you got Chris Noble, whatever. But these guys are necessary. Like, I view Survivor through, like, I feel like sometimes through an entirely different lens than, like, the, you know, some people of like, I like the gameplay. Okay. I love the gameplay, but I just want to see something silly on TV. I'm just a casual at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. That's, that's there certainly in this season.
Yeah. And it delivers for me.
Yeah. So Liana, go back to what you're saying about the final eight.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then we can talk about Seabass later because I have more to say about Seabass.
We have lots to say about Seabass.
Fabulous. Right. All right. So at that final eight situation, I think it's truly what I would describe as the pivot point for Donathan and for Laurel, where they have this decision to go between the three men and the three women. And Wendell, I do wonder if it had been Dominic that had been the that had could have been voted out, because Laurel and Wendell just had this bond. I mean, Wendell used his idol to bring her. I mean, obviously he didn't need it because he had immunity, I think, at Final Five, but he brought her to Final Four. Like, clearly there's something going on there. They were very close. And I think she was unwilling to vote him out at that point.
Yeah.
But also she would have been on the bottom of the women. So.
Yeah. And they had an incredible bond in the game. And we see some of it in the show where like Wendell puts in a lot of work at Yanuya with Laurel. And like, you know, I think that Dominic, he talks with Laurel earlier in the game. I'm sure he had a good relationship with Laurel, but Wendell really owned that relationship. And so like, I really think that Laurel was not going to flip. I think, is that also Does Laurel have immunity in that one, or is that the next round where, yeah, I think it's the next round, even when Laurel completes the puzzle and Wendell doesn't call it out and Laurel wins immunity and he lets her have it. He doesn't like contest it or anything like that. Like they have a really good relationship like that. And I don't think that. I don't think that Laurel was going to, you know, flip and strike first at Wendell. I think she mm-hmm. might have against Dominic. Yeah, that's the spot when they could have done it. But I think she just did not want to stab Wendell in the back like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who knows? Who knows how it goes? It probably ends up with Wendell, Laurel and also Dominic all sitting on the jury, you know, probably like they get Wendell. Dominic has an idol. All right. Okay. We can't get Dominic. Should we vote out Laurel this round? Like, you know, there's a very good sure. chance she doesn't get to the final three also if she ends up doing that. So,
yeah,
you know.
That way she's just the kingmaker of like who's going to win here. Is it going to be like the people who I've been with since like day 10 or whatever she said? Or is it just like, you know, the girl? So like it's a hard spot for Laurel to be in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, there's also an opportunity at the seven. But again, I think they probably needed one more vote because Sebastian is working with Dominic and Wendell also at seven when Kellen and Donathan are trying to get her to flip in that spot, too. Can I tell you that this might be a little bit of a hot take in terms of like, you know, Laurel gets too much of the blame. And I have to say, I love Kellen. Kellen is great. She was most recently on This Week in Survivor History. But I think Kellen is the person that had the cards to play that could have stopped Dominic and Wendell and didn't.
It's interesting. Kellen is super interesting. One, just because I really resonated with her story and her as a person, but the whole concept of like her, she's the one who really starts, at least in terms of the edit, to push this Navidi strong thing. And yet she's the one who then ultimately tries to flip it on its edge, but it feels like it's only after she gets personally or maybe the light opens up when Seabass takes all the dudes on the family reward and there's like some flip there. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I think she was poised to make a move. She definitely could have done it. I think she had troops backing her. It was just too little too late when she did try to go for it.
Phil, what did you think about Kellen on the rewatch? Because that I feel like that she's a real, like, we call this in the evolution of strategy, Josh and I, like, Jeff has a go-to guys and go-to gals. And Kellen, I felt like, was a real go-to gal for Jeff and production for this season. I feel like anytime they needed a metaphor, she was there.
She's always there to talk about her gut, Rob. And, you know, I think, Jeff loves that of like just the metaphors and all that. I liked Kellen. I enjoyed watching Kellen. I agree that, you know, she probably had like a spot there where she probably could have made a move against the boys. But is that like, is that the Desiree blow up we're talking about or no?
So I think that that's sort of like where I think her game. I think the next round is where the game ends for her. Like, it's, I think that's sort of like the peak of Kellen's stock in the game is right when she goes on that reward. She somehow like leads a crew that beats Dominic and Wendell for reward at the final 10. And then she goes on that reward and she comes back and Desiree is trying to like, Desiree's like, okay, I'll make my big move. I'm going to get Kellen out. And then Laurel reports that information back to Dominic and Dominic goes to Kellen and says, Kellen, I just want to let you know that there's a thing. And she's like, no, there's not. You're lying. You're lying. That would mean Chelsea. She was with me all day. That can't be possible. You're lying to me. That's not happening. And she goes back to the women and blows up the whole thing. And then Desiree is mad at Laurel. Like, why did you tell anything? And then everybody ends up getting mad at Desiree. But I feel like that Laurel also loses a lot of stock in the game at that point. because like it's like all the women lose on this because then Laurel talked to Dominic and then now none of the women trust each other again after this because of the way that Laurel saved Dominic and Wendell. You know, it could have been like that the bottom feeders were about to rise up and then ultimately after that and Kellen is like, no, we need to get out Michael Yerger.
Right.
And Dominic and Wendell had no relationship with Dominic and Wendell. Like he was a number for Kellen.
I know. It feels like, especially at that point, like the rest of Malolo is just trying to survive at that point. So like when Desiree just like self implodes, like they're just gonna like, I think wrongly, right, to just like get rid of her instead of like targeting one of Dom or Wendell who's vulnerable at that point. So it's like, it's confusing. It's confusing for me.
Yeah, the fact that Desiree went after Kellen, of all people, I think is interesting because I think you would have expected the pair, at least, because even if Kellen is a power player, you have a pair of power players, right? And that should, I think, be more dangerous.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was definitely an interesting choice.
Desiree, like
so visible.
Yeah, Desiree, like, skipped a step. She was like, okay, like, they were supposed to stick together and then get Dominic and Wendell out of the game. She's like, no. Screw that. I'm getting Kellen. That I can't beat Kellen if I get to the... Well, you're at the final 10 and you didn't get rid of Dominic and Wendell yet.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You might not be able to beat Kellen, but you definitely can't beat Dom and Wendell.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Thought she looked too far ahead. She was like, okay, well, we've got like all these women here and Chelsea and Jenna and we're just going to steamroll Dominic and Wendell. And we got Donathan, and then she just miscalculated this and then tried to go after Kellen in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a weird choice. That was such a fun episode, too, though. That was like, oh, my gosh, there's so much drama going on here. I don't remember this happening in Ghost Island.
Yeah.
So that was definitely really nice.
Well, Desiree has like some screen time. She's not quite as invisible as like Chelsea is, but she just like sort of pops up out of nowhere. It's like, oh, this is my big plan this episode. I'm going to take out Kellen, who I've been with the whole game.
Oh my God, I'm not gonna lie to you. That episode starts with her getting like these confessionals and I was like, oh, this must be her boot episode. Like I didn't even remember that she went there, but just based on the way that it was edited. So I just kind of feel bad for her. And that's the thing, back to your point also about, this is really about 5-6 people, not the rest of them.
Yeah. And then at that next episode, it really is very stark because all of the people that we care about in the game end up on one, like they do a split tribal council where everybody that we care about, everybody that's important is on one tribal council. And then it's everybody else and Donathan, who is sort of like the B team, are on the second tribal council. And again, the A tribal council delivers where it's a really interesting strategic vote and all the players are there. Kellen plays her extra vote, and I think that this is like one of the really subtle things that Wendell does. I thought that Wendell did a lot of really subtle things in the game, but he ends up getting Kellen and Laurel voting for each other in that spot, and then they never are able to work with each other ever again after that. So I think that he did a really good job of dismantling that potential women's alliance of that. He like him and Dominic, like but more so Wendell, did a lot of things to keep the women firing at each other, and so they are going after each other, and Michael Yerger is coming out like, hey, I've got an idol. And Kellen's like, he's got an idol. Dominic's like, he doesn't have an idol, trust me. I've got a good read. She's like, no, he said he does. But that was a really good tribal council. And then nobody knows Kellen has the extra vote. And then lo and behold, there's 6 votes at the tribal council.
Mm-hmm. I did go back to look at my notes from the B&B when I had originally watched this episode. I definitely had written the JV squad for the first tribal council.
Yes.
And because they were just, it was so boring. And I think even Jeff in the tribal council is saying, this is the least number of questions I think I've ever asked in a tribal council. So we'll just get to the vote. And then contrast that with the next one that's so explosive and so fun. And to see the nuance of the strategy that's there is just really magnificent, which I think maybe is this dichotomy of Ghost Island, maybe why it was edited the way it was.
Okay. The season ends on a big note. I'm not talking about Kevin Hart coming to talk about TKO. I'm talking about, we get our first tie, Phil. It was super exciting. The 5-5 tie, Laurel is going to cast a vote. How did the tie play for you on the rewatch?
You know, it's so weird because like it's still like one of those like Survivor moments that just like gives you chills because it's like this is the first time this ever happened. And it's like Jeff has this grandiose reveal of like, I'm going to read the votes right now. And it's everyone's like, oh, my God.
No.
Yeah.
What does this mean? But everyone actually knows what it means, sort of in the back of their heads, where it's like, why else would he be doing this? Mm-hmm. And Dominic admits, like, I think at the reunion that he feels like he's dead in the water at that point.
You can see it on his face.
Yeah, you can tell right away. He's just stumped because, you can't help but feel for him in that moment. But I don't know. It's really fun. Like it's really, really fun. And it's still exciting for me, even knowing the outcome. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it because we've always been asking the question of, well, what's going to happen? And there's a tie. What's going to happen when there's a tie? And we finally get the answer to it. And it just makes for a really exciting finale. And the fact that, you know, you get a little bit of foreshadowing of like Dominic being like, well, it could only be one vote. No. Turns out it's the, you know, it's Laurel's here. But yeah, the other thing was just focusing on their respective faces when it's announced that Laurel will be making the tie breaking vote. It's becomes abundantly clear who ultimately is going to end up winning the season.
Yeah, it was still a great moment that we were there when we live in person when Jeff came out with the one vote at the finale, and it was like a really just like standing ovation in the room. Just a really exciting final tribal, and then you know a really great reveal there for Survivor Ghost Island. So really, I mean, compared to last week where we're talking about the final tribal council and heroes, healers and hustlers, and people are not that excited. I mean, this was a super exciting final tribal council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about the actual discussion.
With people being up and dissatisfied, like, oh, this is this is garbage. That he got found idols. You had, you know, basically a final tribal council with, you know, whether it was Dominic or Wendell, like two people who just like head to head and had this really fun relationship all through the season. Like there were so many times where that they were like, they were partners. And then also there were times where they'd be on like on opposite teams, like in a challenge and be like trash talking each other. Like it was such a cool relationship, Dom and Wendell.
Right. And like those interactions should be like signals that these guys are boys. Like they have such a visible bromance. Like if they're like chirping each other in the middle of challenges and like, I mean, I guess like that didn't matter. Like, right. I guess because ultimately, you know, everybody knew Dom and Wendell were a pair. But like that, it just screams to me like why don't we deal with these guys? It's just like it's maybe it's just a testament to their game, obviously. But yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I think that their relationship is so interesting where it starts at the beginning of the game where that, of course, that they go through this trial by fire with Chris Noble. The story of Ghost Island really starts off with Chris Noble. He's selected as the person who is going to be the captain of the team. They do the challenge where, okay, pick out like him and Brendan were the two captains that had to pick people out. And then so does Malolo win the first challenge?
Yes, Malolo wins the first challenge.
Greatest tribe ever.
Obviously, as we all know, but because I believe the fact is that who was it that finished the physical portion first, which then ultimately kind of like disadvantaged the next person? Because I think Chris Noble pulled
I think it was Michael Yerger versus Seabass in the physical part of the challenge. And then there was a puzzle, and I think it was Laurel versus Desiree.
And
you could pull the like the ripcord and maybe lose the puzzle. And that Dominic says, Jeff Probst had asked, like, so what do you think? Like, are you satisfied with the decision? And Dominic says, like, I think we put up the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I have a problem with it or whatever.
Yeah, which is crazy. Which is crazy to say.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
That's so unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary, but I'm funny.
Yeah.
For Chris Noble to just make the executive decision there, very bold. I feel like, you know, I would at least communicate and be like, hey, Dez, like, you think you got this or should like, are we like, you know, and he was just like, yeah. No, it's, I got to make the decision. I'm the alpha here. And he just pulls the thing.
Yeah. Like, I got to be honest. I couldn't even follow like what the stakes were in terms of like, all right, you're going to get her fire making kit. But if you win the challenge, then you get a fishing kit. But if you lose the challenge and you pull the thing, then you don't, you get a flint, but you don't get the fit. Like I'm lost.
Yeah. Right. That was the other thing about this season. It was all about decision making. And yeah. So the first one is like, here, let's throw you for a loop. You got to pick two people, compete in two different things. And then, of course, you're not
one bad decision. Yeah.
Haunt you forever.
But like Dominic is shot out of a cannon to start the game. And then, of course, then Chris Noble is not liking what he's up to. Dominic goes looking for idols at nighttime. Chris Noble thinks he has the idol, and then they end up sort of having like bad blood for the rest of the game. And then following the first swap, that it ends up where James Lim and the Malolos do a number on Dominic and Wendell, and they're just like down and out, and they have their backs against the wall, and Dominic tells Wendell he has an idol. And really from that point on, this is like an alliance that's sort of like forged in fire, and they're unbreakable really till day 39, or I guess until day 38 when Dominic has to put Wendell into the final four fire making.
I mean, it's canvas print worthy. Mm-hmm. Okay, that relationship. We get, of course, the loving shot. I mean, it's interesting because we see, and this is again to Wendell's credit, I think, for really spearheading this, but to mention we can't go after each other. We can't go after each other. If we go after each other, we're both out of the game. And so just continuing to reinforce the fact that they needed to stick together and then just battle it out at the end.
Yeah. Would have been really interesting if this season would have had either Dominic or Wendell on Malolo, where the tribes were like kind of really uneven in this season.
In terms of just like physical, like balance?
No, like, in terms of like the people that we knew, like Laurel and Donathan and Michael come out of Malolo, but the rest of the group are all the Navidi people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, I wonder because they did try to give a lot of credit. So like people like Stephanie, for example, who did get a lot of content early on.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had made it later in the game than we may have seen more. Like maybe it just so happens that the fun characters from, from Malolo went out early. I don't know.
Mm. Right. Well, they just keep losing. Right. So they just lose. They lose Brendan. They lose. They lose Jacob and they lose Stephanie Gonzalez and they lose. They swap on the second episode, right? Or the third episode.
It's after the second vote, but it was a 2-hour premiere of Ghost Island.
Right, right, right.
So,
right.
It's not ideal if you are a viewer where we end up swapping so quickly. It's like 1 week and then it's like a whiplash. And I do feel like that the worst part of the season is the stuff that comes in between the second swap and the merge. I think that's sort of like, don't swap twice before you get to the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
It's too much.
Because I think because then it's like some sort of, I mean, I don't know. The Bradley vote maybe I think was interesting, but
Bradley vote was the more interesting of the two, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes it a casino game of like, you know, if you get swapped into a majority, like you're just going to like steamroll. And it's just, it's annoying.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit about the cast here, because it is such a top heavy cast. I talked last week on the podcast about how I think I really liked HHH had an 18 person cast where here we go back to Ghost Island with a 20 person cast. And we really get to know the people we get to know, plus a couple of other colorful characters along the way, like a sea bass. But there's just so many purple people in this season.
Yeah. I could not remember some of them once we were back in the swing of things, I was like, oh yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just, I mean, look, I'm just like looking at my notes right now and the majority of it's Dominic and Wendell. Then I have a Dominic and Wendell, like subsection, Donathan and Laurel, Chris, Kellen, and then a little bit of Seabass.
Yeah.
And then I have Michael Yerger as 18 in case I were was going to forget that fact, but that was jammed down our throats throughout the season.
You know, we have Angela, who, you know, she has the moment of, we have the gross food competition, but Phil, I mean, she is such a non-entity in this season here, and she makes it to the final four.
Right. And it's so weird because, like, it just seems like she had, like, a very habitual thing of, like, betraying, you know, the people who helped her. Like, James Lim is, like, extending the olive branch of, like, your own people want to vote you out. I'm here, and we're going to, you know, we're going to flip the script on them. And then she turns around at the very next tribal, or is it the very next tribal? Whenever James Lim goes,
yeah.
And she just, like, tosses him right under the bus. Like, yeah. It was like, yeah, I feel like, when Wendell and Angela are, making fire and Angela goes, you know, I don't care. Like, Wendell is very averse to sitting at the orange. It's orange is cursed. Orange is cursed. And Angela's like, I don't care. You can sit here. Like, yeah. It's fine. Like, I feel like that's very, like, poetic of, like, this is just kind of like how her Survivor game went. It was like, I don't care. Like, you do, Wendell, you do what you want. You know, it's fine. I'll lay at your feet. It's fine. That was Angela's game.
But then on top of it too, is just sort of like very chaotic, very unclear, like what was governing her decision making. Because sometimes it was like, oh, I don't care. Sometimes, okay, no, I need to like go spill everything that I can to Dominic and tell him everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Or like flip on James when she was trying to make a move and like feeling that she was on the outs because Dominic and Wendell and Morgan were going after her. Just like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the one time she really comes alive is when she is the sea slug slugger.
Yes.
When she wins the gross food challenge, she's like dancing and she's like sticking out her tongue. And Jeff even comments, he's like, Angela, I haven't seen you like this. You're like a new person right now. It was wild. Like, that's the only time that she really got animated in the whole season.
She's living her best life with those bugs.
Yeah, it was wild. And then, of course, we had the pair of Jenna and Libby, which
right,
kind of like
you know what did they call her? The angel of something.
Yes, she was Parvati 2.0 Libby. She was, you know, the devil in an angel's body.
The devil in an angel's body. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because she had that bond with Morgan Rickey over
don't
religion,
trust the cute blonde. Yeah.
Right. And then like she felt like she broke that and she was just like whips back of mm-hmm. Don't trust the cute blonde. Which I don't know. Did anyone trust her after that?
No,
I don't think so.
Nobody did.
No, really?
So, I mean, yeah. So
it was Morgan.
There's a prophet.
Me out. I mean, and Jenna, the only thing I remembered about Jenna before I rewatched the season was I remember Seabass saying that your hair smells like a dead weasel, which
dead
is
weasel.
I'm sure the thing you want to be remembered
and
for.
And they got together, but they weren't a showman's on the season.
I know.
Yeah, but that was the moment. That was the hot pickup line where she was like, oh my God, I am taken by this man. And
Phil, was he negging her, your hair smells like a dead weasel?
Oh, big
for
time.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, I don't think Seabass is calculated like he's like doing like some sort of manipulative negging.
Yeah, yeah, he
Jenna.
Didn't have that much game.
I think it was just like an accidental negging.
Yeah. So, yeah, you had both Jenna and Libby around who were just sort of like there, not a lot going on. They were just sort of like at the bottom of Malolo. And then, you know, we spent a lot of time like in the first couple episodes on sort of like what was going on with Malolo under the Brendan administration, which was not great.
Yeah. What was the positive about that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know,
exactly.
Michael Yerger found an idol, right? They found an idol together.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah, they
that
were
was,
all in on Michael
cool.
Yerger at that point in time.
Yeah.
He was like,
he was their comeback kid. You know, he was a scrappy little 18 year old man.
Well, production loved Michael Yerger. I think that they invested in Michael Yerger and they said, this guy's going to play 9 times.
Yes, he got a ridiculous amount of content for reasons. I don't know. And then even in the finale or the reunion or whatever, when
we gotta go to Michael,
multiple times talking to Jim Clement. Doesn't matter. We're going back to Michael.
Go back to Michael. Yeah, they were setting it up that this was going to be like he was. That I think they felt like, okay, this guy's 18. He's going to play 12 times in the next 10 years. We're just going to bring him back. They're basically like bringing him in, like a move over Joe, Michael Yerger, new hotness. And look, very handsome guy. No qualms about that for me. And he had a big heart, he was pretty halfway decent at the game, but they just like were falling over about Michael Yerger.
So
he will never play again, right?
Especially not now.
Would he want to play again? I feel like he's got
I think he might. I don't know.
If he's maybe still he's a big fan.
I think he's big into stonks right now, right? He's
stonks?
He's like a big stonks guy.
Yeah, he's like big into the stonks. The stonks market.
Whoa. I think you tell me like his modeling career blew up.
I don't know. Well, isn't he like that entrepreneurial male model in LA just like living his life?
And I haven't kept tabs. Yeah.
Wasn't he a realtor?
He was a realtor. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, just entrepreneur, like, realtor, living in LA.
In my head, this is what Michael Yerger is doing in 2021.
You know, I know. I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like that. I tend to think I have a good feel on things because I sort of gauge like, well, how like much of like the Survivor world, like it doesn't seem like Michael Yerger follows any, like I haven't seen him say boo about Survivor, not to make a Ghost Island reference, since season 36. Like he hasn't like weighed in or popped up about, you know, said one thing about, well, you know, sticking with the show.
Maybe it's all a ruse. He's going to just show up one day. He has to distance himself from the show. Maybe he's maturing on Ghost Island himself. I mean, right. He was only 18. He needs to get a little bit older here. I'm not sure.
The Ghost Island of life. Yeah.
The Ghost Island.
Maturing. Yeah. Maturing literally, quite literally maturing.
Yeah. All right. Into a man. They love Jacob Derwin. I'm sorry. Michael Yerger. I want to talk about Jacob Derwin. And talk about Jacob Derwin we will when we come right back after we take a moment to thank our sponsor, our friends over at Theragun. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me. How do they know I'm not an elite athlete? Just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stresses of every day, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. What year is this? Just go to the site and check it out. And Theragun app learns from your behavior and suggest guided routines. So I'm going to show you just how quiet the Theragun Gen 4 is. You can check it out here as I'm going to turn it on here for this demonstration. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers and me. This is great when you're looking at your phone all day and you get tension in your shoulders, or if you have a leg day in the gym and you get those tight hamstrings, you're gonna love Theragun Gen 4. Try Theragun for 30 days right now, starting at only $199. Go to theragun.com/RHAP right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's theragun.com/RHAP, theragun.com/RHAP. And we will get back to the show in just 30 seconds. But let me thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And let's talk about what was going on back in the premiere of Survivor Ghost Island. let's go through and talk through the season a little bit chronologically, so we make sure we get to everything. We talked about how the season opened, and we opened up with Malolo, and we spent a lot of time with Jacob Derwin in the first 2 hours of the show, and Jacob Derwin was fantastic.
Yeah. You gotta spend the time with Jacob Derwin while you have him. Is it Derwin? Yes, it's Derwin. Yeah, Jacob Derwin. Somebody on Twitter called me, said that I have big Jacob Derwin energy. And
that was a compliment
at first.
Yeah.
But when I thought a little bit more about it, like it's very true. Like it's a lot of like embellished confidence with a lot of neuroses. And, you know, sometimes funny, very hyperbolic. This is the greatest tribe of all time. That's definitely something I would say.
Well,
I'm honored to be compared to this man.
I think you should, because he came out of the gate and he came in hot, and he had a, you know, he lost his shoes within 5 seconds of being on the island. He said, you know what? I bet there's a clue to the idol in the rice. Oh. Dumped out the rice into his sock. Nobody's thinking of these things before.
So gross. So gross. Dude, you got to keep your feet away from things that people are putting in their mouth.
Yeah.
Max Dawson and everybody who's doing that. Just stop doing that stuff. That's weird.
Yeah. Liana, this was like shades of like Ian Terry crawling under the couch to look for some sort of like secret veto, like the first day of like, you get these super fans out there and they're going to lose their minds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure losing the shoes didn't help at all. But the first two episodes, which were all in one night, was like this love letter to Jacob Derwin.
Yes.
We appreciate you being on the show. You know, his brash confidence of Malolo is amazing. Malolo is going to come back. The winningest tribe ever. Like all of those things together, plus the shoes, plus the socks, just makes for a beautiful first two episodes.
Well, he comes out and at that first challenge, he like talks about it, like what a great tribe Malolo is. And then after he gets picked to go to Ghost Island, then he's like, ha, you fell for it. That I wanted you to pick me. So now I'm going there. Like even if that was the case, I feel like that you don't like say that on day three on the mat.
Totally just creating this narrative as it's happening. I'm like, aha, I tricked you. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That is, that's so good.
Well, and then when he goes to Ghost Island and then he doesn't even get an advantage and he has to give away the legacy advantage, he decides, aha, but I'm a genius. Therefore, I will make a fake idol. And then I think, as believe he said, I have some damn good deception skills.
Yes.
So he really brought it to
it. Let's circle back to that when he comes back from Ghost Island. So Malolo is going to go to the first tribal council and they're going to vote out Stephanie Gonzalez for reasons. I never got this. It's not in the episode. Why did they vote out Stephanie Gonzalez, who, she said she could have done the puzzle. It's not like she screwed up the puzzle. And she seems like on this tribe that is, you know, not like a great group of physical specimens. Why would they vote out one of their top people in Stephanie Gonzalez? It made no sense.
It was a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a choice.
I mean, maybe it just comes down to Donathan getting out there, spreading his vote. You know, like I'm a sucker for somebody like Donathan. So I imagine like if I met somebody like Donathan in real life or on the island, like, you know, I would just be like drawn to him. And like whoever, if it's him or somebody else that I haven't necessarily bonded with, then it's just her. I mean, they never really explain. So it's kind of sad.
But, well, I think she got screwed in that everybody for 3 days were like, oh, Jacob Derwin, first boot. Yes. No doubt. Let's not even talk. Right. Let's not even give another name. And then he wasn't available. And then it was like, oh, wait. And it was like, oh, we can't have two Stephanies.
Definitely panic, I think, of like, well, I just don't want it to be me. Crap, I thought we could vote out Jacob. So first name, and if Donathan is willing to throw out Gonzalez, then sorry, Gonzalez, but definitely a decision that does not make sense.
Yeah, and they voted out Stephanie Gonzalez. And Stephanie Gonzalez, though, for her part, that she does like get up at that first tribal council. And I think that, Liana, we're starting to see like they've seen Survivor Game Changers now, like the, you know, the Malcolm like group tribal council effect is now really like seeping into the game. It doesn't happen a ton in game here in Ghost Island, but like it's coming.
We had speculated.
You better get ready.
Better get ready. What's going to happen when they're able to see what happened in Game Changers and whether or not that was going to be implemented? And sure, right off the bat here, we have Gonzalez going around doing all the whispering, which I'm sure did her absolutely zero favors. I mean, I think she was done anyway, yeah. But it definitely didn't help.
Yeah. Justice for Stephanie Gonzalez. That, you know, like, I don't know if she'll ever, if she it, like made enough of a factor, but it seems like that. I feel like that she really could have done something.
I think so, too.
Okay. All right. So Jacob Derwin comes back and Phil, Jacob like tries like that. I feel like he's got like a pretty good like poker hand and I feel like he kind of misplays it.
Oh yeah. So I think he's just like a prime example of like a Survivor fan who is like, I've got all this knowledge. Now let me put it to good use. I'm out here. Let's go for it. And then like, you know, They can't perform under pressure. They have stage fright and, you know, and still keeping this narrative of I relate to you, Jacob Derwin. Okay. Like, this is not shots fired. You know, and he just like, he has this pile of things, like you said, and he just like drops them all over the floor. Like, yeah, I don't really have the article. I left it at the island actually.
No idea. Yeah, Liana, I feel like that, like he could have done something like, you know, that they ask him like, well, is there a note? And he's like, I left it at Ghost Island. Couldn't you just say like, no, I won it. And there wasn't a note.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he could even describe, okay, this is the setup. We had to smash an urn and then you did, you know, like there's a whole
they
series
haven't seen
of
it.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. I was going to get an advantage that, yeah, they have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. And it just felt, oh my gosh, just of the lot. This is all the Survivor knowledge that I have. Let me just spit it all out. Definitely. Yeah, that was not, not as well played, I think, as maybe it could have been, or he thought it may have been.
Yeah. And then they go to the challenge and there's a swimming part of this challenge and look, it doesn't go great for James Lim. They make James Lim feel like that like he basically like steered into the iceberg on the Titanic, like James, you did this, and he's like feels so bad. So mean about James Lim losing
James
the challenge.
Lim was a pure-hearted man. He was just like, you know, he played the game hard, and he never got. Maybe that was part of the problem of it, is like he just like came off too robotic. But you know, he's just.
They like shamed him after he couldn't swim in the challenge.
So it's like not like everybody else was like really pulling their weight too. It's just like, you know, just like you got to point the finger somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
But also it wasn't just the try. It was like Jeff during the commentary, James Lin, useless out here in the water. Like I'm hoping that James had water in his ears and couldn't hear because that's brutal.
Yeah. Donathan did get the glow up there of that. Yes. He was able to overcome, but yeah, they were so mean about James Lim to the point where then he had to like take the vote splits in case Jacob Derwin had a real idol.
It's like I accept my fate. Yes, I was so bad. Yeah. Jeff told me I was bad. You guys said I was bad.
Yeah. So Jacob Derwin goes out then in the second one, but then all of a sudden we're gonna switch tribes now.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
So like we just got to know these tribes. Like we just got to hear the story of Malolo. But this is the finest hour for Malolo coming up where we get to the swap and we get, you know, an interesting swap where it is Donathan, James Lim, and Who's the other person that's switches over? It is on the Morgan vote. Libby.
Libby. Yes.
Yes. And so they actually get one over on Dom and Wendell. The only time that things don't go Dom and Wendell's way in the whole game, it was James Lim and company here at this point in the swap, and Dom and Chris stay on the same tribe together. Ultimately, Chris, though, will go to Exile Island. Ghost Island. And then we get this vote where that Dom and Wendell, they're like, they say, let's blindside Angela. One of our own numbers. They'll never see that coming, Phil.
Because, you know, she's Chris's right-hand man, where Angela is literally in confessional being like I don't like the way Chris is actually talking to me. So, like, it's very, like, from that point in that ing, it's very confusing because it's like, is she really, like, Angela or Chris's right-hand man, or is that just their perception of her?
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing to point out here, too, is that, and we see this, I think, initially happen in episodes 1 and 2, but by the time we get to this vote, Dominic has already found an idol.
Yes.
He has then made a fake idol.
Yes.
He has then showed Chris Noble the fake idol, but with the parchment of the real idol. So Chris Noble is convinced that he has a real idol, which he does. It just so happens that Chris Noble has only seen the fake version, which I think is such an interesting move. I remember at the time when it happened being gobsmacked at what I was seeing. And then the fact that Dominic can later, you know, well, we'll talk about this later, but then play like, oh no, it's a fake idol. It's a fake idol. Let me show you my crappy shell.
Yeah.
It's like, why go to all the trouble of like having this conversation with Chris, where you say like, I don't have the idol, but maybe afterwards, like I'm going to lie to him about having an idol. It's so bizarre that like, but I guess it worked for him. I don't know.
I don't know. Like at the time I was like, this is crazy. But now I've watched Tony win Survivor 2 times.
Right. Exactly.
And now I don't know. Like is Dominic's game ahead of its time here in season 36?
We don't question. We just base our assumptions on results oriented thinking. And, you know, if Dominic, you know, got to the end, then whatever he did is it's all gold. It's all gold, Rob.
Yes. Okay. How about this? Let me ask this question. If Wendell was not on this season, you know, Wendell gets cast for David versus Goliath. It'll be, I don't know which tribe he would be on, but let's just say hypothetically. All right. He's going on to season 37. Is Dominic the winner of this season?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know, unless he can like forge a bond with Seabat. I don't know. Like they're so reliant on each other. I feel like a lot of their momentum of like, you know, them playing hard, like it all stems from this like very sincere, genuine bromance. And like, you know, it propels them to play a really good game. I think they both needed each other, like parts of each other's arsenal to like protect each other. I feel like that it was very integral to both of their games. They were both integral.
Yes, they certainly were better together. Leon, do you have any thoughts on this? Like, what does this game look like if Wendell's not there?
I think it. Dominic, which we hear him talk about his paranoia through, you know, and it plays a part in the finale at the end. And he's like, well, I was paranoid the whole time. And then the one time I wasn't paranoid. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, that that's the reason why he ended up failing in the end. But I think the paranoia would have run him wild. And without Wendell to sort of calm him down, try to bridge relationships, because we see it with Chris and Dominic, where Wendell like has to try to sit them both down and be like, okay, now be nice. You guys have to play well together. Clearly that doesn't go well, but I have a feeling like Wendell played that role maybe a lot when it came to Dominic and his other relationships.
Yeah. I think that Wendell, like in terms of like good cop, bad cop, like I think that when Wendell is looked at like, okay, Wendell's the good guy and Dom's the heavy. And I think that that was like a role that Wendell really excelled in a lot of times over the course of this season. And I feel like that without that person there, like I even looked at it like at the merge where, you know, Chris Noble, like seems like he has relationships with a lot of these young people. Like, and I feel like that because of the relationships that Wendell had from like Yanuya, where I think that everybody went with the Dom and Wendell side, but I could see a scenario where if Wendell wasn't on the season, that Chris Noble's able to get like the Libby's and the Jennas and Desiree and people like that to like, sure, let's vote out Dominic at the merge.
I mean, we have even had Navidi Strong though too as a concept. I don't even know about that, but and this is where when we talk about the great Dom v. Wendell debate, where I feel like Wendell could probably win if he were playing by himself, but I don't know if Dominic could do the same.
Not in this season. I mean, in a different season, maybe.
Not in this season. Yeah.
No, he definitely has the gumption. Like, he finds an idol on day two or whatever, right? Like, he's really out here playing really hard.
Oh yeah, I mean, they necessarily
exactly right.
Like, they're obviously both great players.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's interesting. I think that Wendell was really great at being able to sort of whip up the votes. I feel like on a lot of these things where that he was able to sort of go in there and then have a relationship with Laurel or some of the other women on the tribe, Chelsea or whoever, and be able to to talk with them. And again, we didn't see a ton of the side conversations, just a couple of them. So it's hard to say who's doing sort of that housekeeping.
Wendell is just effortlessly cool. Like, everybody wants to be his friend. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Dominic is a little more intense. Like, and it's together. Yeah. They just have a good balance. They balance
exactly.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like that when we look back to Wendell in Winners at War, where the people that Wendell was kind of aligned with, where, you know, whether he was working with Yul or Nick or when he gets to the merge and hanging out with Jeremy, that I think that if we could have seen the scenario where it's if his best friend was Boston Rob or Tony, where it's that he was seen as sort of the warmer, gentler, more approachable person in a pair. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of feel that's his strong suit.
If he was Sarah, right, in that season, then who knows?
Yeah. All right. But back to this season. So ultimately, Morgan Rickey. She gets the legacy advantage from Jacob Derwin, but she cannot reverse the curse. She ends up going out. And this is the low point of the season for Dominic and Wendell here on day eight or whatever.
I mean, it's better to
day nine.
Have your low moments early, right? And then propel.
Yes.
Escalate. Yes. Success.
Yes. And this is the high point for the Malolo tribe also, because Chris right. Noble has gone to Ghost Island and they're trying to get the votes on Angela. And what a masterstroke by James Lim and company here on this vote, because not only do they get Morgan out of the tribe, they also get Dom and Wendell basically with their pants down trying to vote against Angela, who is former Navidi. And so when they come back, I think that really, I think it's a missed opportunity for this group. And I think it's Chris Noble, from what I understand, would not throw a challenge, but they should have thrown a challenge here and gotten out Dom or Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's so masterful. And you can see how hurt Angela is when they come back after tribal, her own people voted for her and inadvertently saved by the Malolos. And then I don't know. Yeah. What was it? Was it Chris Noble not wanting to throw? Was it Chris Noble's ego of then getting in the way of that? I don't know, but yeah.
it all comes back to Chris just not knowing what's correct, you know, and it's, you know, it's just recruit syndrome of I'm just here and I don't really know. And I give him a pass for it, guys. It's fine.
No,
he can do no
he's
wrong.
Great. He's great. He's great. I mean,
very confident.
You don't find Chris Noble being watching the show every week.
Yes. Super fan Chris Noble. I heard he also thought about putting rice in his sock to look for an idol.
Mm-hmm. Well, much like Chase Rice, he was just trying to escalate his rap career by coming on Survivor. So that's why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. On my spot, this is completely unrelated. On my Spotify Discover Weekly, a Chase Rice song came up and I was like, what is happening? Like, they're listening to me.
Was it Buzzback?
No way. Of course it wasn't that.
Okay. All right. So Angela was really not happy. Dominic gets the legacy advantage. We get to a period of time where we're gonna have two votes in a row where we spend a lot of time at Malolo of the Kellen and Bradley. They have the numbers there, former Navidi there, and we're gonna see a valiant effort by Michael Yerger finds James's idol, but. Will the Malolos be able to stick together? Not really.
The low, low, lows. What was it that Seabass said? Yeah, but for now, I'm going to go with the flow because the low, low can go no further low, low than the low, low, low. It really was a low for the low, lows. Wow.
Yeah.
That was bars.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah, and spoiled Bradley of just like, Wendell has built like this kingdom on Navidi, and he leaves on day six or whatever, and he's like, oh, I miss my king size bed back in Navidi. Oh, my life is so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. How did Bradley hold up for you, Phil?
Oh, incredible. Incredible, incredible. Because, you know, it's just like a lot of that, like, that villain confidence where he falls flat on his face. And, you know, it's like, it's so juicy and delicious to see this, the comeuppance of Bradley. He's so confident. And he, like, I don't typically like when, you know, you sort of self, like, appoint yourself as the villain. And that's kind of what Bradley did. But it's just, it's so delicious to watch him on TV. He's great.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He makes for fantastic television. And I remember him being rude, but I didn't realize like what a dick he is.
He refers to himself as a dick on the show.
Exactly. And I remember at the time, because we did Casual's Corner that week, where everybody's like, you can't say that on TV, blah, blah, blah. It's this big deal. And
you just did.
Wow, Bradley, a trailblazer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So absolutely condescending and just like terrible to every single person, like just coming back from challenges where the person is already defeated. And then they're like, oh my God, guys, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, you probably had too much coffee. Like,
yeah.
What are you saying, Dominic. Dude? Are you Dominic. Kidding me? Like,
yeah. And so like you see like Brendan and Stephanie like trying to like plead to Bradley. He's like, well, we have the number. So, you know, we'll kind of, it's like, it's kind of pointless for you guys. And, but Michael Yerger does find James's idol. And there is like an exciting like tribal council moment where I thought Michael Yerger has like a good story that he tells. But basically like, hey, James got voted out with two idols so I can get to protect two people. And we're all voting for Bradley, so you better flip. So it was as good as anything, but ultimately he saves Stephanie, but the votes come in for Brendan.
One tribal council too early.
Yeah.
One tribal council too early. And then the next episode is all about how Stephanie is like gonna, like, she wants this so badly, and then ultimately, you know, she goes out here in this spot. Mm-hmm. And this is where I will say that we're entering like sort of like the soft underbelly of Ghost Island.
What do you mean?
This is like, you know, other than we get, you know, dude, Chris, that throw was great in the fifth episode. Like, I feel like that the Stephanie boot is not that exciting. And then we're going to swap again. And this is, I feel like, you know, the real doldrums of the season.
I think that's the moment. And I don't know if it's because they're the misplayed idol from the last tribal council, but the fact that then none of the Malolos vote together. Stephanie is voted out effectively unanimously. James is voted out effectively unanimously. It just feels like the Malolos have completely given up. They're
Like,
no, I'm
and
sorry.
At not all. For anything. You have a season all about take a chance. Go, like, Stephanie, dead to rights in the game. Clearly, the person who's going home next gets sent to Ghost Island. All right, here we go, baby. No game. No game. Really?
So
don't say
mad.
This show is fixed, anybody. Don't say this show is rigged. If the show is rigged, Stephanie would get a chance.
I know.
She'd get to play
don't
a game.
Something.
Give her a
at
shot to win
chance.
An idol here.
At least the chance. They pre-made all those urns beforehand. They didn't realize.
They give her no
just
chance.
Just a sleepover for Stephanie.
Just a sleepover.
Yeah. Enjoy some rice on Exile Island.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ghost Island.
And then we're going to swap again. Also, that just to fact check myself before. It's probably too late because I'm probably getting the tweets already. But also, Laurel got swapped to Navidi, of course, because her and Donathan end up making the relationship with Dom and Wendell at that point. Mm-hmm. But then, so we go to another swap and we go, and now we bring in the third tribe, Yanuya. And now Wendell and Chris get to bond a little bit. Wendell's going to find an idol at Yanuya. Poor James Lim is going to go out because Angela won't vote to save him.
Why, Angela? Why? So sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a self. It wasn't like, hey, Angela, I'm doing this for you. But, you know,
Yeah, she never works with like Kellen or Desiree again in the season. Like, it wasn't like that. Those were some close allies.
What was she? Why? Mm-hmm. Like, at least there's something there with James Lim. If you like, you know, you are now like there is previous game evidence that, you know, he is willing to go to bat for you. And nah, it's fine. See you later, James.
Yeah.
Angela.
Yeah.
Feels so bad. Mm-hmm. But also stop swapping so much. It's not fair.
Too many swaps. It's too many swaps. Mm-hmm. This is it. We do in the seventh episode, before we get to the merge, we do have the fall of Bradley. And you know, that Liana, that I'm from interviewing the cast, that this was clearly like Dominic threw this challenge here to get Bradley out. I don't think they show us anymore when people are throwing challenges.
I mean, no. The only reason that I knew of it was because of all of the postseason press, and because you would have no idea that it was actually thrown. With the Malolo lows, this is a Malolo high, but oh no, they had to throw it. So, And they try to stay away from it in the editing and everything. I mean, clearly there was momentum there to get Bradley out. So, I would have loved to have seen it.
Yeah,
wish they'd shown it.
Yeah, Phil, they have to play it up because Malolo, that Desiree said, hey, we have to burn the flag. It's bad juju.
Right.
And they burned the flag, and then they didn't go to tribal council. Wow. And if Dominic's throwing the challenge, it took away that curse. I one of the things I hated so much in this season was that this is the season that made orange and purple a thing. Orange is cursed and purple is awesome. And we're going to go right back to it in season 37. And it was not a thing before this, but orange is bad. Purple is good on Survivor.
But they burned the flag. The curse is over. I thought they fixed that.
Even in the reward challenges, like, oh, the curse of orange is still a... making curses a thing.
It's Ghost Island. Oh, my God.
It's Ghost Island. I'm just going to quote the show. I don't even know what it is.
One bad decision can haunt you forever.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you burn the flag, all right? Forever is forever, okay?
Yes, so much bad juju if you're on an orange tribe. Okay, but we get to the merge, and we get one of the greatest merge episodes of all time here with the fall of Chris Noble. Phil, there was so much to go back and enjoy.
Oh, I loved it. Just the very beginning where Wendell's like, okay, I've been on a tribe with Chris. Dom's my boy. I'm going to be the diplomat here. I'm going to get them on the same page. If we want to get deep in this game, we have to work together. And Chris Noble is just stubborn as, and is like, I'm not doing that. But it's just, like, no tact. Like, even if you don't want Dominic, like, don't tell him to his face. Like, stop that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Wendell is like, all right, I've been working with Chris for the last 6 days. Let's have a powwow. And he brings together Dom and Chris, and Wendell's like, hey, look, we need to work together. We're a group. And then Wendell says, okay, any of those three women over there, let's vote them out. And he's pointing to, I guess, Libby and Jenna. And I'm not sure who else is over there. Maybe? Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. That's Naviti.
Anyway, so he's like, any of those women. And Chris Noble's like, well, I just got here. I don't know. And he's like, well, Wendell's like, but any of them? Is that it? Like, well, how could I say? I can't say right now. And then even Wendell's like, all right, I had it. That's it. He's got to go. Tried to make it work.
Wendell, the diplomat, is just done with Chris Noble.
He's such a patient man, and he's just like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Even Chris, if you think that he has an idol, that Dominic has an idol, just why are you doing this? Like, never.
He's gonna split the votes on the two of them. Now he's gonna split the votes on the two of them.
I forgot the kindergarten teacher leading all his little ducklings down to the well knew that he had all.
Yeah, Dominic's like, you see, this is what happens with him. Wendell's like, I know. So, but Chris Noble, he got the buff that had a note in it, and the note said, "Sneak to Ghost Island." And Phil, he makes history.
Wow. He sneaks away to Ghost Island and finds he plays a game, right?
A game.
He
gets to he gets an idol. And then, if it doubles or is it one extra tribal council? I think it's one additional tribal council every time he gets yes. But if he gets no, he loses his vote. So he does it once. Mm-hmm. And now his idol is good for two tribal councils. He's like, I got to get more power. I need more power in the game. And he goes back to the well and then gets no vote.
Well, he'll never lose his idol, though. Okay, so he will always have his idol. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that was one of the things. What was the thing he said? He was like, "Do you want to risk it?" And he was like, "Hell yeah!" Mm-hmm. Oh, no. "Do you want to risk it again? You bet your ass!" Like, yeah, you go, Chris Noble.
Yeah, finally, like they got somebody who was willing to take some chances in Chris Noble. Leon, from a strategic standpoint, was this the right move? Do you keep gambling, or are you concerned about losing the vote here?
I mean, he's so convinced that he has everybody. So I guess, although what number did they merge at? Was his vote going to be necessary? 13.
Yeah.
13. Okay. So, I mean, if he thinks he's got the numbers, it doesn't matter, right? He's got plenty of people. He can definitely risk it and just try to get that immunity idol as good as long as possible.
Yeah.
But Chris, you had the idol. It was only good for two rounds.
It was JT's idol. Now Chris Noble could not reverse the curse. But Phil, we get like one of like the best edited Survivor sequences in the show's history, where you have like Dom talking about how like Chris is an idiot. And then Chris is talking about Dom. And they're going back and forth. And it's just like Jeff talked about this in the season 40 press about how like they're like these are the kinds of chances that the editing is taking. And this really worked for me.
Yeah, it's such an interesting spat between the two of these guys. Just like Chris Noble, I feel like it's hard because like he's just like such an airhead, and Dominic is just so frustrated with him. And I like to see the kinds of things play out where Chris Noble. Anyways, I don't know what I'm even talking about, Rob, to be honest.
Isn't this when we get the suave line as well?
He's too suave.
Contrary, I think earlier. I'm too suave for this.
It's his accent. It's his accent.
It's the accent.
Yes. He's too suave.
It's beautiful.
Yes,
episode is beautifully edited.
Dominic and Wendell were pitching me BS. I'm too suave to just buy it.
And he was. And he was, because he gets up and then takes everybody off to go to the well and says, "Hey, basically, we're going to split the vote on Dom and Wendell. How about that?"
Aha!
Yeah,
he's done it again.
Yeah.
Chris Noble.
But we see
all right, guys,
Wendell.
Back it in.
Yeah, we see Wendell like saying like, "Hey, like I think that this should be a democracy, not a dictatorship. What do you say? Let's come with me." And you know, they're able to like get all the votes back, where the only people who everybody votes for Chris except for Angela and Desiree put two votes on Libby. They don't get the plan, I guess.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even matter that we don't know why that happened, because there was too much good stuff in the episode.
Yeah. I think the reason is they feel like, okay, well, that's Chris's core of we can't trust them. They'll tell Chris. So don't tell Angela or Desiree. I feel like we did not get to see enough of the Chris and Desiree relationship.
I didn't realize that they were so close, even now that you guys are talking about it. And I just watched this.
Yeah. Again. Well, I think that we were robbed of ever getting to see original Navidi go to a tribal council, because I think that from what I understand, I think original Navidi would have been split along the lines of Dom, Wendell, Kellen, Bradley. And I'm not sure who they're
Morgan,
maybe Morgan
side,
and Morgan. Yeah,
Morgan.
That would have been their five. And then there was like Chris's five, which I guess would have been Chris, Angela, Desiree, not sure who, Chelsea and Seabass. Yeah. That was going to be, you know, it would have been like really great to see. Like, again, why were we in such a hurry? We got a good episode with the Morgan poop, but why were they in such a hurry to swap?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rob. I just don't know.
I don't know. Okay. But even after that, I'm like, all right, well, we got the Chris Noble vote. Like, the season's going to go downhill from there. But yeah, I just felt like that there was stuff going on. I mean, was it just me or were there some really good reward challenges in the season? And I'm not a big reward challenge guy, but I felt like that a lot of the reward challenges, like especially the team ones, were like really like neck and neck.
Oh, you're saying like actually watching the challenges themselves. I thought you were talking about the rewards.
No,
like,
the rewards were fine. They're the same as every season. Yeah.
They got pastries the one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Like, I feel like that, you know, we end up with after the post-merge, like, we have, like, sort of, like, our big, like, set pieces, like, action, or, like, it's all in the reward challenge, and then every single immunity challenge is like, all right, let's see who can stand here the longest with this thing on your head. Whereas we had some really good reward challenges with like doing stuff with like the slingshots and going back, you know, going back and forth and like even the spool coming down. Like, I feel like that there were some like a lot of reward challenges with action in this back half of the season. But gross food challenge is back, Phil. I think, is this the last time we've seen the gross food challenge on Survivor? I don't think it's, unless it's in David versus Goliath, and I don't think it is.
We would have known of like Christian like having a reaction to like some sort of disgusting food or something.
Yeah. So we got the gross food challenge, and we got to see where Angela, she's gonna really like have her big moment.
She just comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Jurgur is fighting for his life at this point.
She's trying to stir the pot on Jurgur. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I feel like if Jurgur is against anybody else here, but Angela, just demolishing these disgusting foods. Like, I feel like he has a good shot to stay in the game a little bit longer, but Angela just, she's really out here.
Yeah, at least you got this. They're going to play the votes on Michael, and then he plays his idol, and then Libby goes home on the vote split.
Ah, devil in an angel's body.
Yeah. But even this, right. I thought this was interesting, where Laurel is sort of like playing like the double agent, and Dominic is too, but it's really more Laurel that has to like sell this of like, hey, we're here on the bottom of Malolo and we're trying to get in, and this, we can't crack Naviti. Like, meanwhile, like, she got a Final Four deal with Dom and Wendell.
At Tribal, she plays that up, and not just in this Tribal, but throughout as well. Like, we're just trying to make our way in, just blah, 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 which is such a subtle thing, but it's really, really works for her.
Yeah, which really sets up where we get to that Desiree, like, has this plan to take out Kellen. Now, one of the things I thought that was interesting, Dominic says that he has a dream where Martin Sheen was making breakfast. Leon, did you catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember. What else? And it was like, what else happened to them in that dream? It was such a wild thing. And they were all trying to do so. Oh my gosh, I wish I could. Did I write it down? I gotta find it somewhere in my notes.
Here, let me see. Perhaps do I have a clip? Oh yes, here. I have a clip called Dominic's Dream on my hard drive. Let's see.
Oh, remind me to tell you this dream I had. It was me and you having breakfast in your kitchen, and Martin Sheen was your father.
Martin Sheen is Laurel's dad. What do you think, Phil?
The Mighty Duck Man? Wait, no.
That's Emilio Estevez's dad. Dominic's a big West Wing guy. So he's...
Right.
Yeah. That's not a joke. He loves the West Wing. So maybe that he just has President Bartlett on the brain.
While playing Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how that came across, but I don't know. The 23andMe test might say otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, this is, and we talked about this episode a little bit where it's going to be Desiree's big move and Kellen comes back. And really, this is the apex of Kellen's game, where she comes back and then Laurel told Dominic what's going on. And then Dominic tries to tell Kellen, and Kellen is so mad. He's lying. This is Desiree's. That if Desiree's lying to me, then why is Chelsea with me all day?
Mm-hmm. No way.
They wouldn't do that to her. They wouldn't do that to her, Rob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No way.
Yeah. This whole thing just spirals from, oh, okay, yeah, Desiree's got a point. I could definitely see this. And then it's just he said, she said, all over the place, who's telling who, because I'm trying to even keep it all straight. And I like watched this literally yesterday, because it's Laurel, right, that like initially tells Kellen or tells Dominic,
She told Dominic, and Dominic told Kellen.
And then Dominic tells Kellen, and then Kellen goes to Desiree.
Kellen goes to Desiree. Is like, can you believe that Dominic told me that you're trying to flip on me? And Desiree's like, what? That's crazy.
Never did that.
I would never.
Yeah.
But she like, she sticks to her guns when it comes to the lie.
Right.
Because in camp, there's the full out confrontation when Laurel, and maybe it was a tribal council or both, but no, you said, and then there's other, the Malolos are all trying to back her up, and somehow Desiree just gets completely thrown under the bus.
Okay. I've been a staunch Laurel defender. Should Laurel have said anything about this plan? Like, if Desiree wanted to knock out Kellen, is that the kind of thing I guess it's hard to say because we know how things ultimately are going to go. Would that have been in Laurel's interest at all to have Desiree and the company rise up against Kellen?
I mean, Kellen's not one of her final four, so I don't know. Does it start to throw apart the Navidi strong, and Laurel knows, like, oh, I need to keep this together?
Yeah.
Possibly that's the logic behind it.
Yeah, that's sort of like, Phil, like, when I'm playing pool, and, like, just all the balls are everywhere, and just, like, that's one of those things, just, like, shoot the cue ball into just the pile and see what happens.
Right. Just because, like, you know, at that point, like, you kind of just have to scatter. Like, I mean, yeah, like you're saying, like, we know what happened, so obviously, like, maybe we want to see the different route perhaps, but you know, I mean, maybe, I guess, yeah, maybe it makes it more interesting in terms of just like not seeing Wen and Dom steamroll through.
Yeah, Kellen and Laurel don't really have a bad relationship yet at this point in the game. Like, they just sort of have like kind of like no relationship. But then this sort of like gets them on the wrong foot.
It's kind of like a mutual, they have like a mutual friendship. Like, they're mutual friends, right? Because they have both have Dominic and Wendell kind of in the middle there. And so it's in their best interest to keep them sort of all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Donathan's also going to find Ty's idol, the iconic. Phil, do you remember where you were when Donathan found Ty's idol?
I was probably in bed. Wait, yesterday watching this when Dominic found Ty's idol. Mm-hmm. Or wait, are you talking about when Ty?
When Ty did
Donathan, I said Dominic.
When Ty said Scott Pollard, no, that's
yes. Both iconic moments in Survivor history.
Both iconic moments. And Ty's idol, very iconic idol, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But like, whose bad decision was it? Was it Ty's bad decision because he didn't? Because he could have used Scott later in the game.
I don't know,
because he made it to the final three, right? So whose bad decision was it?
I think they're reaching at this point, right? This is where we're reaching.
It was Ty's idol.
I think they wanted really something hard. That was going to be in two halves, but you had it from last season. Like, I don't know if it was like, oh, but Donathan won't know. It's like Lauren Rimmer had two parts of an idol. She gave one half to Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike threw it in the fire. Like, Donathan is going to read the note and be like, who's Dr. Mike?
Right, exactly. Oh, man. I don't know.
You had it. It was right there. It was right there, everybody. Anyway.
Yeah.
But just pretend you act like you know who Dr. Mike is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, they're not all super fans, right? I'm sure some of them got their advantage from Ghost Island and said, ah, yes, I know this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're telling me Chris Noble knew who JT was?
Oh, biggest JT fan.
Big Token Cheese guy. Chris Noble's been pounding that drum for years.
So Chelsea is going to win an immunity at this point in the game. And Is there a survivor in the 30s? Like we talked about Purple Kelly recently. Has anybody been more invisible than Chelsea? Could you tell? She cried when she got coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Could you name one other fact about Chelsea? We've watched the season twice, done weekly podcasts of it when it aired, Liana and I.
Yeah.
Phil has written many songs about the season.
Right. She wanted seasoning on her meat or something from one of the rewards, and she asked if she could put the season. Wait, is that wrong or is that?
No, I mean, whatever. She was there. I think she was there when they made the steaks.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, there's so many.
I can't even remember her loved one. Was it a sister?
Wait, she was there?
She did get a loved one's visit.
She was at the family?
Was it her dad?
Oh, boy.
I think this show's because at least I can name some facts about the others, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I remember her first words were, I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like she makes Purple Kelly seem like that. Oh, like Purple Kelly was basically just Tony Vlachos. Not strategy wise, but just like in terms of like being like
content.
All over the show.
Visibility.
Right.
Well, I remember I tried to pay attention at least early on to her confessionals to say, okay, was there gold here? They were also not the most eye-catching, eye-popping confessionals. And then I just sort of fell off trying to pay attention to those. So no, I have no facts.
Yeah. And they, have done like better jobs casting in the like later seasons for the most part. But I don't even know what they were going for here.
Like, what was the thing about Chelsea that the casting people were like, yeah,
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what her job is. She was an EMT / pro cheerleader.
You think that's why? Pro cheerleader?
Yeah, Salt Lake City. Yeah. Yes. Leon, and I think you also did her exit interview with me, right?
Oh,
or was that Libby?
Yeah.
Or was that Libby?
No, I'm pretty sure that was me. I think I was Chelsea.
Yes, okay. I knew it was you. I wasn't sure whose interview
she was
you did.
Angry.
I'm pretty sure it was her.
Yes, that
just
definitely
adds
happened.
To the full mystique of Chelsea.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I don't think she was, I don't think it was that she was angry. I think she was like, had something else going on.
Yeah, I think, definitely. She definitely had something else going on, and that's why she couldn't make it. It was a scheduling conflict, because it was very last minute when we put the whole thing together. So
yeah, okay. Then, so ultimately here, Desiree goes out. And I feel bad for Desiree. I felt like she got kind of piled on at the tribal council here.
Yeah, I think that, like, just the way when you get caught in a lie like that, it's kind of hard to come back from ever getting any, like, especially for the Malolo people who are just trying to survive at this point. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever. Like, you dug your grave. Like, I have to pile on or else it's going to be me. So it's like,
right, yeah. Right. And Desiree, bless her heart. She was like, look, I don't like saying things multiple times. I'm going to say this one time. Like, this didn't happen. Laurel is a damn liar.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Yes.
That's my time.
Okay. And then after that, though, it's kind of like the die is cast here. And this is sort of like Dom and Wendell are able to sort of really get that stranglehold at this point where we split into the two groups. And this was very exciting that it happened. But ultimately, Kellen just gets duped here by, that Wendell is telling her that or Michael Jurger comes to her and says, hey, I have an idol. Dom's like, no way. He doesn't have an idol. And Kellen's like, no, he does. I can tell. I need to vote for Laurel. Mm-hmm. I need to play I have two votes. If Kellen had that other imagine she had that when she got to the final seven, that could have been really a thing that changed the game. But she wasted here. Nobody even knew she had it.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't need it.
Yeah.
Also, I completely forgot that there was a split tribal council during the season. So this is fun to relive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was a big moment, and they even reference it, I think, in Island of the Idols that they talk about, this was they did the same exact thing when they split up at 10 or 11 in that season. And you know, it was it's an interesting thing to do in terms of like the randomness. You just happen to have like all these power players on the one side, and like Kellen just gets spun around here back and forth. And she's so worried about Michael Yerger that ultimately it ends up with like, and Dom and Wendell are voting for Michael Yerger, but they get Laurel and Kellen firing at each other and Michael Yerger out of the game and Kellen playing her advantage. It's really like game over after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Really masterful stuff. One, yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5 punch of one thing after another going right for them. That's wild.
I mean, it completely fractures any trust between Laurel yeah. and Kellen. So yes. that's dead. They don't even have to worry about that really moving forward.
And this was a Wendell move. Like Wendell mm-hmm. was the one that really got like, you know, he's like, I got to protect Laurel. And then he gets Laurel voting for Kellen and Kellen, you know, like firing at Laurel. And ultimately, then once it comes out that, Kellen, you also had 2 votes and didn't tell us about it. And you put your 2 votes on Laurel of all people. We were trying to get Michael Yerger out and you wasted your votes on Laurel. It's like, yeah, I did that.
To Phil, trust her gut.
Let me ask you about the other side of things. Donathan promises Jenna that he will play his idol for her and then does not.
Why?
I don't know. We don't know.
Why? He never. Yeah. Yeah. Not a good thing to, like, you know, overpromise. You never want to overpromise. You overpromise. Yeah.
And then Liana, that also Michael Yerger asked Donathan, can I borrow your idol and show it to people and say it's my idol? And Donathan's like, no.
He doesn't want it coming back to him, even though he already promised Jenna that he would play it for him. And like, you know, at least all of the Malolos know about it. So.
Why not? Why not, Donathan?
Sure. But this is where I'm saying Malolo was already gone. Malolo's done. It's done. It was done. Mm-hmm. It was done way back when. And there's no way the Malolos are sticking together. They're all out for themselves. So, of course, Donathan is not going to be willing to give up the idol, even if it's just a prop. Because Michael, I mean, now Michael, the 18-year-old, would he have actually straight up played it for himself, which I would have loved? Or would he have to have given it back before tribal council? That I don't know. But no way. No way that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ultimately, what does Donathan do with his idol? Does he play
it
on himself?
He plays it on himself
at that tribal.
So he just wastes it.
Yeah, he just wastes
it.
No one
voted for him.
Nobody voted for him. So basically, like, instead of like, oh, I don't want people to like know about my idol, like, yeah, like you can't show it to people. I need to waste it on at the tribal council.
But I think he was convinced that people were voting for him because Jenna does vote for him. And so when that first vote comes up, Donathan does not count. He's like, yeah. And he's looking at the jury. He's like, yeah. Yeah, like, look at me. I just played an idol successfully. And then it's, you know, Jenna.
Yeah. Phil, how did Donathan hold up for you?
Wow. Chaos Donathan. We love Donathan. Okay. So I admittedly will say I watched a couple eps on 1.5. It was difficult to understand what Donathan was saying.
Yeah.
But, absolute gem. Like, this is the kind of like.
They love Donathan.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Sia loves Donathan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's just like the kind of character that is just like oozing charm, you know, just of like, you know, I don't know, you know. And then not only is like, I think this is like a result of like the theme of Ghost Island is like paranoia is striking everybody. And especially it's striking Donathan. Donathan is just like, are you voting for me? And there's like, for
he
no
loses
reason.
It by the end. Yeah.
Like what? Like he's just like, so like on his toes about like on everyone, like Laurel, who he's like been playing the whole game with, like Wendell and Donathan need to like coddle him and it's not working at all. Like he's just so paranoid. But it's incredible.
He gets set off at the end of the game, Leona. Like there's no like bringing him back.
It's too late. You know, that train has left the station and he's just, I mean, all the things of like, yeah, I don't know. I'd vote for you. Oh, I wouldn't vote for you. Just all over the place. And then he doesn't have an idol. And I would have loved to have seen what he may have done without Laurel, because I do feel at least in the early stages, Laurel was saying, no, we can't do anything. Let's stay calm. But Donathan unleashed maybe is what we would have seen without her there holding him back.
Yeah.
Right. Because honestly, he wants to make moves against Wendell and Donathan. And like, ultimately I think Laurel like reins him in a bit. And then just all of a sudden he's just like, screw Laurel. I'm just like going to do my own thing. And like, whatever happens, happens. It's fine. Like, and I love it.
Yeah, I do think that this double tribal kind of screws them, because they ultimately end up losing like the 10 and the 9 vote. And then all of a sudden we went from like there were 10 players to now there's 8 at the family visit here that's coming up in the next episode. So if you're waiting to make a move on Dominic and Wendell, you sort of like lost a window there where we had the two sides where you couldn't take a shot at them when you ended up in a tribe where even if they would have gotten like split up like we saw like with some people in like Island of the Idols, where like Missy and Aaron go to different sides, where then they both get picked off in that double tribal council. Had Dominic and gone to one group of five and Wendell gone to the other group of five, like maybe that's the spot where people could say like take a shot at one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they have to play their idols, you know. It's like but they ended up in a situation where they got to be together on one side. Dominic had individual immunity, and then also Kellen burned her advantage to try to vote out Laurel in that round. We get to the final eight, and a all-time great loved ones visit. Also a great loved
Patty!
Ones visit. Yes.
Patty!
yes. Yes, you have original Wendell, you have Aunt Patty, you have Dominic's wife, Kristen, coming out. She says, I love you, I hate you. Nobody's ever said I hate you to their loved one when they come out.
Amazing. You have Wendell also give up being able to be with his dad.
Original Wendell.
To Ghost Island to get the Malcolm advantage.
Yeah, which stunk when it was for Malcolm. This is a bad advantage. Again. Stop giving it to people.
It was such a flop. And the whole thing about setting up, you're going to give up love to go get this thing, this advantage in the next immunity. And the fact that then when the immunity challenge happened and Wendell dropped it. Oh, Wendell dropped it again. Just right back to back.
Yeah. I mean, once you're not going to win that challenge, you're not going to win that challenge. Like, stop giving people more chances. You could have given Wendell 3 more chances. Like you're not going to win. When you're done, you're done. That's it.
It's not the kind of thing that you get after a while. Like, you know, like a second chance is going to do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the women are so mad after this happens, where it's like, you know, like, there could have been a women's thing earlier in the season, but like there's too much bad blood between Kellen and Laurel at this point for it to happen. But the fact that they also like didn't even give the women a chance to say, do any of you women want a chance to go to Ghost Island, or should one of us take it? Wendell jumps on that. It's even like, they didn't even let us get the advantage, and then they get to go on the family visit, and that's it.
Incensed.
Yes.
It's time for the uprising.
Yes.
This was it. Yep.
Phil, I've watched 9 seasons of Survivor so far this year. And then my biggest takeaway is people that don't go on the loved ones visit are pissed.
Yeah,
they get super mad.
Yeah. People loved the rough. I was going to say people love their loved ones. Okay. So when
yeah.
So, when you miss that opportunity, it's like, it kind of feels like a slap in the face, especially if Wendell is literally chosen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel some type of way as well. Like, you know, I'm out here starving, getting psychologically beaten down, and I just want one person I can talk to that I can trust implicitly, and, you know, you're going to throw all that away to, you know, I mean, he didn't know he was going to get a dumb advantage, but...
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
No one else gets the slot either. He just straight up gives it up. I don't know if they didn't have enough sandwiches. But.
I think I feel some type of way. I don't know. I'm sensitive though. So,
Leon, did Dominic promise to Aunt Patty they're taking Dominic to the end?
I'm trying to remember the language that he used. It was like, us, we're together, we're going to the end together. I think it's that type of vague language that allows him to get away with it. Oh, the end, what does the end mean? You know, it's open to interpretation.
So did Aunt Patty ever follow through and beat Dominic's ass? Do we know?
I have not heard from Dominic that Aunt Patty kicked his ass at any point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's avoiding her.
We need talking with T-Bird to really sort that out.
Find Aunt Patty. Let's see if, she's a Brand Steel superstar, Aunt Patty. Memorable Brand Steel debut. Right. And so ultimately, like that... they realize they need to try to vote out Chelsea here in this spot. That's what's coming for here.
She's challenge beast. There we know another thing about Chelsea.
That's right. She was a challenge beast.
The challenge beast. Challenge.
Yeah, I think she did win two immunities in the season. So congratulations there. But this was where Dominic won individual immunity, his second in a row. And they end up going for Chelsea. And as Liana pointed out earlier in the show, you know, this was probably the spot if Laurel was going to make a flip.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately,
it really was.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it's a 5-3 vote against Chelsea in this spot. And then the three votes are for Wendell, and they come from it's Kellen. It is Chelsea. Oh, they even get Angela.
And Angela. Yeah, because it's those three. I mean, again, Angela is just wherever the wind blows.
Yeah.
So that's where she's going to go. Here. Okay, great. Because I remember, like, you know, the whole narrative is that Jonathan and Laurel are in the middle and they're going to be the kingmakers in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know people get on Laurel, but, you know, Jonathan's also voting out Chelsea here in this spot. And, you know, they did go on the family visit with Dominic, promised to Aunt Patty that they're going to go to the end. So, yeah, we'll see. But that's probably the best spot. Wendell has his hidden idol where he has Eric's necklace still, where he could potentially play it if he feels like anything is going to go south there. But then we get the final seven, one more regular episode before the finale. And now Kellen is pretty much dead in the water. She's trying to get something going. But this is where Jonathan gets set off, Phil.
Yeah. And, you know, this is just like premium Jonathan content where he's just like out here, you know, just saying to people's faces that he doesn't trust them and just like doing absolutely wild things.
Yeah.
Jonathan unleashed.
Yeah, he was unleashed. Well, first, we're going to have the reward challenge here where Dominic and Wendell are going to go on the reward with Laurel. And then, Liana, this is like one of the situations where you have like sort of like one of these late game reward situations where the final three goes on a reward and basically like it's locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the one where they're giving the pool noodles to all the children and all of those types of things.
I think this is the only time in the Fiji era where they go and visit like a school and like give stuff out to people. So, yeah, that happens. And they have a great day. But then when they come back, yeah, this is where Jonathan is just like getting very, very upset. And even Wendell is losing his patience with Jonathan.
Because isn't this where they're laying on the bed together?
Yeah.
Right. And Jonathan or Wendell's like, what was even Jonathan doing there? He was just trying to, freak Wendell out and be like, I would vote for Dominic if he were in the end. So,
Yeah. Wendell's like, why are you saying this to me? Why are you being like this, Jonathan?
Why are you like this?
Just like intentionally, like trying to push his buttons, like for no strategic merit at all, you know, just to push his buttons, be a little troll.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
What was the plan?
I loved it.
What was the plan?
I mean, if I understood the logic correctly, it was you have to go after Dominic because I will vote for him.
Yeah.
So you can't be sitting next to him. So you must go after him. I believe that was at least the logic. Now the approach, questionable at best.
Do you think it was that he was mad? Was it Dominic and Wendell working together that took Laurel on the reward?
Yes, when the three of them were together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a little bit like, oh, okay, I see where I fall, because it was the group of four of
Didn't
them,
get picked.
Right? And he was like, oh, okay, so clearly I'm the fourth here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and then before tribal council, like, Wendell's like, quick, I need to make a fake idol. Give me, what do you have for me? Got any notes? And he's like, all right, hold on. Go on. Let me check the storeroom. I'll see what I got for you. And then Donathan's like, wait, what are you doing over there? He's like, Donathan, I just had to give him a thing.
He's like, nothing.
It's nothing. Not anything it's important.
Nothing. It's just a thing.
There's nothing
You'll
to
find
see
out
here.
Later.
Get out of
it's
here,
not important.
I was watching this like, was this like a retaliation troll attempt by Dom and Wendell to be like, why don't they just tell him what, like, I mean, I guess, yeah, whatever. But like, just tell him something instead of like being ambiguous about it. Like, it was a lot of like giving him a taste of his own medicine, kind of like, okay, you're going to be weird about something with me, then I guess I'll do it back to you.
And then Dominic later has shades of the fake idol thing all over again, where he's like, I don't know, I was just handing Wendell a bracelet that Wendell was asking me for. I have no idea what Donathan's all up about.
It's up to him if he wants to disclose what it is. But yeah,
the Dominic-Donathan relationship is going to be a big deal ultimately when we get to the finale in the final six. Kellen ends up going out here, but you know, Kellen got to at least, like, the difference between Kellen and Laurel, where I really feel like that Kellen had more chances to change the ultimate outcome of the season, but I don't think that she's judged as harshly as Laurel is, because at least Kellen got to like go out like Dom and Wendell, you sons of guns. Mm-hmm. I should have got you. Like, she has like a real, like an episode where she's able to like throw everything against the wall and try to go out, where Laurel doesn't get that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't ultimately get to have, like, correct, in the final three, you know, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and I mean, go ahead, Phil.
Oh, no, it's just like that. She's also in confession, like constantly telling us like they need to go. I think that's also like a huge part of it, of like,
yeah,
maybe if
she has two episodes where she has basically like Troy Zan mode of like, this is my island.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's those confessionals, because Kellen's confessionals, I remember at the time, also being a little frustrating because, trust your gut, which, by the way, she's not the only person. There's trust your gut is one of the themes of Ghost Island. Desiree says it, Michael says it, Wendell says it, Donathan says it. Everybody says trust your gut. Just so happens that Kellen is the one that we really get shoved down our throats. And I think maybe because she at least had a plan and stuck with her plan, whereas to Phil's point about Laurel being like, oh, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, I don't know, then that maybe makes people frustrated. But yeah, Kellen definitely had more agency, and I think if she had made a move earlier, she could have actually taken the pieces and gone with it, whereas Laurel really didn't have that many options.
Yeah. The finale, we get a really electric final six vote also in this season. Again, there were a lot of interesting votes. I think the last one before the final tribal council is going to be the final six. Then the final five and the final four in this finale are pretty ho-hum. But a lot got talked about after the game was over, of like, basically like, Dominic and Wendell are going to come into this final tribal council with loaded pockets, as Donathan would say, where we're going to see, I believe Wendell has the immunity necklace at the final six. Dominic has a real immunity idol, and the David Wright fake immunity idol here. But Sebastian has two votes. And so there's a plan where Seabass is trying to get Laurel and Donathan and Angela, I guess, to vote out Dominic here. At this point where he has the two votes. And for some reason, Angela tells Dominic that Sebastian has the extra vote, Phil.
This was absolutely wild. Like, and like, he didn't even have to pry it out of her. He just walked up to her and she was like, well, yeah, I'm going to feel bad if I don't tell you this. So, yeah, like, this is what's happening. And I was just like, why? I don't understand. It's just, I don't know, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a move, or was that just, I have a secret and I have to tell somebody?
I don't think it was a move.
He did not pry at all. Like, she was just like, well, I think
this thing happened today.
Like, this happened. So,
like, yeah, it was like, oh, I know something.
Like, you know, this is,
oh,
just,
I should just
what
tell
happens.
You.
Yeah, like, this is what happens around camp. Like, we find something out, we tell Dom and Wendell. Like, that's just what happens. Like,
because Dominic is ultimately not going to even play his idol. Like if Laurel and Angela voted for Dominic here at the final six, he would have gone home.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. And then in the rewatch too, it was exactly the same level of excitement of like, oh my God, he should play it. He needs to play it. And even knowing that he goes on and it's totally fine, it's just like, how do you not play it here? I don't know. Maybe that means that he's a better player than I would. I would completely panic and 100% play the idol.
But so I don't remember if I talked about this when the episode actually happened. I went to the finale. I don't know what I did podcast wise after, but I actually this bothered me on the rewatch here. So at this final six travel council, and a lot got talked about that Dominic came on too strong on Donathan, that people talked about this in a lot of the post-game interviews where Dominic and to a lesser degree Wendell really just browbeat Donathan here at this tribal council. But Jeff has the fake or Dominic has the fake David Wright immunity idol, and he's like, Jeff, I got this idol, I'm giving it to you. And Jeff does not say, okay, Dominic is playing the idol. This is not an idol. Jeff just holds it until after the votes. And you shouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
It's in the same way that if Wendell had to call Jeff, like, come over, check my puzzle. If you're going to give it to Jeff, like, you better be ready for the consequences of Jeff to say yes or no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
If this was Big Brother, like, you are not allowed to use production for your game. I don't know if we talked about it at the time, but like, was Jeff in on it? Was it like, hey, Jeff, just so you know, at Tribal Council, I'm going to hand you the fake immunity. Don't say it's fake yet. You hold the fake the fake idol, and then like, it's one thing if Dominic holds it and says, I got my idol tonight. Because in season 35, I talked about this last week, Ben plays an idol before the vote. Jeff says, I can confirm this is the idol. Ben, you cannot vote for Ben tonight. And Dominic does the same thing before the vote. So the idea is, hey, Dominic just gave Jeff his idol. Jeff didn't say it's fake. I guess we shouldn't vote for Dominic tonight.
Right. Like, maybe it's to be assumed that since he didn't confirm it, like, you know, there's like something going on there. Like, and Dominic is a poker player, Rob, yes. Right? So, like, you know, he's going to take a big risk like this. Maybe he didn't even consider that Jeff could, you know, validate it right in front of them. But he's like, maybe that's a risk he was willing to take at the time.
Yeah, and he still had the real idol in his pocket. So he gets up after the votes are cast and says, look, everybody, I got to tell you something, that this is actually not a real idol. If I lose tonight, this was $1 million mistake. So he does the reveal. He doesn't even let Jeff have the moment.
I think that's still a fun tribal.
It was super great TV. I don't think that was fair. That they you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Right. I agree.
Yes.
Agree.
And then Sebastian ultimately goes home at the final six. But Liana, you mentioned again about the Wendell puzzle thing. It's a great moment. I'm glad they left it in the show about when Wendell does his puzzle and then just sort of like stands back.
Like,
and then Laurel is like, Jeff, I got it. It's like, Laurel wins immunity. And it was an interesting call. And Jeff's like, look, Wendell, you have to tell me, you have to call it. And it's great foreshadowing, because then I think that happens at the final seven. And then at the final six, Wendell finishes his puzzle and is like, Jeff Probst. And he's like, he's like, what's up?
Jeffrey Lieb.
Yeah. He's like, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Yes. That's great. This is great. Great moment. I love that.
We're learning more about the rules, even though apparently the rules are maybe a little bit inconsistent. But now we know. And Jeff was so incensed when the whole thing happens. It's just like, well, you know, you have to call me over when you're done with the puzzle.
And in fairness to Jeff, he's like on the other side of that thing. Like, it's not like that he's like, you know, watching everybody. It's not like that they were right there. So, you got to call Jeff Sedgwick. I'm glad they left that in there. That's like the kind of thing they could have just left that on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. But that was an interesting moment. Anyway, yada yada. Donathan goes out, and Angela goes out. I mean, it was there's like a 45 minutes of boring in the finale. But the final four fire making is back, and Dominic has to make a choice. And we get the urns to come back. Phil, did you like with Dominic getting to pick which urn
Oh, yes.
Do you like?
So, like, a very, very strategic decision. I guess it was, like, a good history lesson. We got to see Tony and Wu again. It's kind of fun. No, I mean, no. The reunion show is, like, 10 minutes at this point. We only have so much time in the finale. Why are we wasting, like, 10-minute segment on, like, Dominic climbing up a mountain, picking an urn?
Yeah, so, but it did set up this narrative of ultimately, like, where the theme of the season is one bad decision can haunt you forever. And in a lot of ways, I feel like that's sort of like Dom's fate of Survivor, where that people talk about that Dominic's one bad decision was that he should have gone into the fire making against Wendell, where he could have faced off against Wendell, where ultimately he was going to lose to him. Liana, is that how you feel? Is that ultimately Dom's one bad decision?
Well, at first I thought you were going to say the bad decision was he chose the wrong urn. No. Obviously, you pick game changers here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all know because, like, Brad Culpep, well, anyway, whatever. Like, Brad Culpep made the wrong move because he didn't vote out Sarah Lucina when he, I don't know. What, and, like, somehow Troyzan is just exempt from all of this. But fine, whatever. I love this conversation because it, you know, oh, should he have thrown himself into the final fire making, which then we see in two seasons later, the ramifications of if you do throw yourself in, I mean, it definitely would have eliminated one of the dogs. So then you kind of know who the other one is going to be. Ultimately, yeah. I'm happy that he didn't do it because you get the tie.
We wouldn't get the tie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Phil, I know that Dom like blames himself of like, I should have made the fire against Wendell. I could have beat him in the fire making. But I just feel like I've never felt like that. Like you have a, you know, like even if it's a coin flip of, you know, winning, like maybe Wendell's going to lose. I guess he probably wasn't going to lose against Angela, but I'd rather like get to the end.
Right. As a poker player, he should know, like, I think he probably did like the calculations of like, hey, like, if I do go and I beat Wendell at fire, it's like a 100% odds to win. But like, it's not a sure thing that he, like, there's so many factors. Like, you know, you could have a bad day. You could have bad twigs or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Like, you know, like, it's not a sure thing. Like, you can be confident that you think you can beat Wendell in a fire. It's not a sure thing. You have a sure thing. That is such a hard thing to walk away from. He definitely should not blame himself, especially like since it was really close. It was really close.
I mean, that's the thing is he was one vote away from winning also, right? So if one person had changed their mind, I think that that's, I mean, he must have felt at least somewhat confident about the decision. And yeah, like Phil's point of, well, it's not guaranteed you're going to get rid of him. Yeah, then you have an easy path after that. But are you willing to put that at risk, especially when you want immunity? Because, I mean, Dominic himself goes to Ghost Island. If he gives up immunity, throws himself in the fire making challenge and loses, like Dominic will be maturing on Ghost Island because that is going to be, you know, oh, what a terrible move he made. What a bad mistake. And so I can understand from that perspective, the conservative gameplay.
Yeah.
And they're big stakes. It's big stakes. Like stakes.
Yeah. And again, they haven't seen it play out. They knew about it, unlike in season 35. But, you know, I just feel like that based on what, you know, Dominic knew at that point, you know, I've never given him a hard time about that. He should have made the fire. Ultimately, we get to the tie. In some ways, I feel like that Dominic was lucky to get to the tie. Like, I feel like he got Chris Noble's vote, which, like, what were the chances of that?
Well, it's right in his name, Rob. He's a noble guy. And, you know, when he respects another man,
he's the noble
you know,
man.
He deserves my vote, brother.
Yeah.
By the way, mutual respect there. You
know, we did not talk about Wendell's confessional yet to vote out Chris Noble at that trial. Because also, Chris Noble went home with an idol in his pocket somehow.
Oh, my God. So aggravating.
Yeah. I don't know how we missed that.
Dominic is in the voting confessional shouting your name. Like, yes. You're getting votes.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I was going to say. That Wendell's voting confessional is so great, but people forget about that Dominic is like, Chris Noble! I made you coffee for 27 days.
And the thing is that the idol was only good for two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, do you think you're going to be at more risk next week after you were already successful at taking out one of them?
I guess he thought there was no chance that we're splitting this plan is foolproof.
Foolproof.
Yes.
Genius.
Yeah. Oh,
boy. So sad.
And then ultimately we get to the reveal of it's 5-5. We're going to go back for the one vote. And then the winner of Survivor is Wendell. And Laurel gets put in that spot. It's a wild reunion show. I believe the reunion show on Paramount Plus is 16 minutes long. Leon, I didn't notice this in HHH, so I don't know if it's the case. Jeff does not have a seat anymore. Jeff is going to do the reunion standing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not enough time. There's 16 minutes.
There's not enough time. We're moving around because
we're going around. We're going 6, jury, final three, Eric.
We've got 16 minutes and we're going to get to whoever we're going to talk to in Survivor Ghost Island. We're also going to get to James Clement, Eric Reichenbach, Kevin Hart, and give you the David versus Goliath preview in 16 minutes.
And get that vote from that child, because of course we got to stick with it and have the child cast a vote.
Yeah.
Key content.
Yeah, you can see Jeff whispering, right, Wendell down. You can see it in the footage. I saw it. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
no pressure.
Poor Eric and James. Like, Here are two idiots that made the biggest mistakes in their lives.
No.
We're going to rehash it out on live television
I feel like they brought out James and Eric to drag Laurel some more. It was like, all right, James and Eric, get out of here. All right. You two, for years, we've talked about you're the biggest idiots that every time we make a list, you could see it. You two, total morons. You totally blew it. But I have to say, at least you made a big move. So you're forgiven. You're forgiven. The new worst move is not making a big move. So no longer. You're free. You're free. It was just, I felt like it was more piling on Laurel.
It definitely did feel a little bit like rehabilitation. Doesn't humor have to set in eventually? Oh, but see, you made it to the final five both times you played. So, wow, what a great player you are, you know, kind of thing. And then, yes, of course, it's all about making a big move. At least you made a move.
And then they went to James, like, all right, James, I got to know. And James like, well, actually, I don't watch the show anymore because
it's too challenging to watch the show. And Jeff is trying so hard. And James is like, no, I won't watch.
I won't watch it anymore.
I won't watch it.
Okay. Michael Yerger. Okay, all right, I gotta go. Like, Michael Yerger, get over here. This guy. Wow. We've never
about how much you love James some more. Come
yes.
on.
We've never had a guy like this.
Ugh, 18. Amazing.
Can you believe it? Did they talk to anybody else besides Michael Yerger in the final and Kellen, I think.
Kellen and the final three.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and Chris Noble.
Did they talk to Wendell?
They talked to
Chris Noble, and then he's like welling up talking about his mom and the MS walk, and then Jeff Probst's like, and that's great, and now we're moving on.
Yeah. No, they didn't even really spend a lot of time with Wendell. They went to I think they did a quick hit, they basically asked him at like the tie vote, how did you feel that Laurel was going to, be again, Wendell gives the Eric Reichenbach necklace to Laurel at the final five. And I did feel like that was redemption for the Eric Reichenbach necklace where that Eric gave that necklace away. Wendell gave it at the final five to Laurel, but it ends up then having the opposite effect is when Eric gets voted out of the game that he's given the gift to a woman like Eric did, but instead she's the decisive vote to win.
It is. I never even thought about it like that, but yeah, wow, that's symbolic.
Wendell reversed the curse. Wendell did a great job. I came away very, very impressed with Wendell. I like Dom and Wendell were both great, but I feel like that Wendell is underrated as a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think he was properly rated. I think like when he was going into Winners at War, a lot of people had him on the board to take the whole thing again, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people were high on Wendell coming into Winners at War, right? I guess maybe not for this specific game. Maybe just because like it was such a close thing between Dom and Wendell.
So definitely at the time and from the casuals perspective as well, there is a lot of Dom was robbed. And I think that's because the edit just whenever there's even, you know, those I don't know. I can't remember edgically what they're called, but the shot of where Jeff Probst is just talking about the challenge shot of Dominic. Yeah. Like Dominic just gets so much visibility plus all the crazy moves and things that he's doing.
Right. Because the audience is like the first five five people on the jury. The votes are split. The people that sat on the couch and were just watching the moves, they were the Dominic votes. And the people that were sort of like in the mix a little bit more and sort of like knew like a little bit more what was happening socially, they voted for Wendell.
And I think then also looking back with a really critical eye, knowing that Wendell ultimately wins also, you can look for those little subtle things that Wendell's doing along the way that I think really make him a super strong
player.
Like
when he brings Seabass a shell.
The conch.
Yes, he saved that shell. And
that
Seabass
smelly
was
conch.
So
stinky still.
It was so, he carried that stinky shell.
He carried that stinky shell.
It was wild though that, okay, Jeff Probst brings out Kevin Hart at the final tribal council or the reunion show. And this is just, it's so wild to talk about. TKO was coming back. I was looking for Tyler in the TKO promo. He was nowhere to be found.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing. Oh my God.
It was
God.
A thing. They didn't show him. That would have been a spoiler for Big Brother.
Right.
Boom shot.
Yes.
I remembered that they went to Kevin Hart and did the TKO promo, but I had completely forgotten it was Ghost Island. And so this was such a joy when they were like, and Kevin Hart, I was, yes.
Yeah. Kevin,
it's so stupid.
That courtesy, Kevin Hart from TKO.
Boom shot.
Yes. Amazing.
Boom shot. Oh,
boom shot.
Yes. Well, okay. Kevin Hart came out and pretended that he was like, wait, this isn't real. Like, I thought we were really on an island. Like, it's like, no, this is like, he's really trying to sell the bit.
Hilarious bit. I was rolling. He was like, oh, where are the palm trees? This is a studio? Way. Like, love that.
Like, not really for anything. The Survivor finale reunion, like, does not really have, like, the lifelike, realistic appearance of that you're on an island.
No.
It's
no.
So it's clearly a stage, Kevin.
It was a wild premise for
Get
Kevin
it together.
Hart.
Come overrated.
On. Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. He came out shot out of a cannon, Kevin Hart, for the finale. Okay. I have questions, I have polls, but I just have to say that Ghost Island, I really on a binge, this was fun.
It's fun. I mean, I'm always of the mind of like Survivor's like pizza, right, guys? Mm-hmm. Survivor's like pizza.
Yeah.
Even like boring Survivor, still good Survivor, guys. So, I had a lot of fun rewatching this.
You know, Phil, did we highlight enough of the fun moments of the season?
I think like we talked about like the Seabass one-liners, which I love. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of good character moments. I don't like talking about a lot of specific moments, but like there is one moment like in Ponderosa that we haven't really
talked about. Yes.
Chris, about Chris Noble. Chris Noble, famous wordsmith, featured on recent Outlist podcast.
Yes.
Had a rap video in Ponderosa, made a rap video on Ponderosa.
Yes.
I thought it would be fun because for me, listening to that podcast, it made me a little angry because
you're talking about the greatest musical moments the other day with Mike Bloom and Jenny Autumn.
Right. And, you know, Gabriel Cade, I'm going to throw some Gabriel shade. Like Chris Noble is not even a top five worst like Survivor. Like rappers from Survivor, there are at least five worst rappers. Gabriel Cade at the top of that list for real. Chris Noble, there's lyricism.
You're trash.
All right. There's lyricism here. It's very subtle.
Yes.
But I figured like maybe we could talk it through because like I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on Chris Noble here, especially Wendell.
Yes.
The beautiful thing about this also is that it's not just the one isolated moment, right? So, of course, we have the famous Wendell confessional, but you have all of these little elements of Chris Noble rapping leading up to this moment. So you have him in confessionals being like, this ain't pay-per-view, it's a free show. Okay, Chris, you go. And it just culminates with this beautiful, beautiful creation on Ponderosa.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like, at least when Chris Noble is rapping, he's trying to make some cohesive sense of what he's saying. not like this Gabriel Cade fellow who is like tribal immunity, whatever, dude.
Yeah, no need to.
Free word association.
Yeah. That was trash.
Right.
Pick up an eraser, Gabriel Cade.
Get it. Okay. Anyways, that was also years ago, you know? Yes. It's fine.
All right. But did you want to talk about Chris Noble's rap?
Do you? I didn't like
that. Tell me, what do you got?
Okay. So I'm just going to go line by line. We can discuss. Okay?
Go for it.
Like, okay. So starts off Bula Fiji.
Okay. Yeah.
We know Bula.
Educational. Yeah.
Feeling like a boss as I'm island hopping. Okay. It's kind of filler, not good. The buzz is so real. It's like we bottle popping. This is potentially ghost written by Chase Rice. Got his buzz back.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here's where it gets real. Okay. Like he was hanging out a lot with Dominic. Okay. Poker player. Listen to this. Okay. Choppers on deck, their hearts flush when they drop in, call a dude's bluff when they body flop in. Okay. Now there's at least like six poker related words in there. Okay. Yeah. This is
a yeah, but that's all it is, Phil. It's poker related words.
Wait.
Like Ryan said to Chrissy in the final, you're just saying things.
What is body flopping? What does that mean?
I was thinking he's like body surfing.
That's what I would think too.
Okay, but what does that mean? So if somebody's body surfing, why is he calling their bluff?
Hmm.
I don't like. Okay. Anyways, I'm trying to defend this and also unraveling it at its very core. Okay. Check my back from that blind side. They say Navidi's strong, but they change with the high tide. Clear diss at Kellen Bechtold. Right to, you know, Navidi strong. He's dropping these subtweets in the raps. Okay. It's very cool. The dark side, the low V with the black, I don't even know if that's right. Black die. Okay. The domino effect cost me $1 million and a swell eye.
Yeah. I think he's referencing Dominic's shirt. I think it's a V-neck. Right. Black. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, the domino effect.
Domino effect. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The temple tapper, Rob. Okay. Okay. Also, did he get punched? Who punched him?
A swell eye, like not like a, oh, it's swell. Wow, it's good. But like swollen black eye.
I don't know.
Whatever. Phil, he's trying.
Maybe it's to his ego.
He's trying. Okay. Now this is the part. This is the hook. Everybody sing along. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Living the dream on Ponderosa.
Yeah.
Swung for the fences. I call it Sammy Sosa. Now, Rob.
Yes.
You're a baseball guy.
Sure.
Who's Sammy Sosa?
He's a famous baseball player for the Chicago Cubs. Had a legendary chase of the home run title against Mark McGwire in 1998.
Right. Would you say he is somebody who has once or twice swung for the fences?
Yes.
Bars. Okay. Let's see. We juice all day and toss the corks in the roasters. Probst on
deck. Says we juice all day. Are they drinking juice at Ponderosa?
I mean,
it's in a juice cleanse.
Probably a no. It's probably a cocktail. You know, they're probably getting a little silly on Ponderosa.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's a very devastating experience to get voted out.
A lot of juice with the bottle service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it explains
the
corks also. Yes, maybe they're mimosas.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh,
mimosa would have been a good rhyme with Ponderosa. Yeah.
Leon, you should be ghostwriting. Wow.
Probably better than Sammy Sosa. Yeah.
Probst on deck feel the burn when he hosts you.
He doesn't really host you.
You're right. I'll stay with me. Okay. This gets good. life is a beach as I sip my Corona.
Okay. A little ahead of his time. Yeah.
Right. He's fortune telling. Okay. Survivor on my mind. That's why I Ponderosa. Okay.
He's thinking.
Kind of fire. I don't know. It's right there, but like, you know, he's the only person who's ever going to write that besides maybe, you know. Anyways, it'll toast ya, maybe bloat ya. Now, what is it? What is this?
Mimosas.
He wrote this in 5 minutes. He wrote this in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but well, it's, you know, like, what? It's like, hey, Chris, we're coming in with the camera crew. Is that rap going to be ready? Like, oh, give me 20 more seconds.
Yeah.
Does he have a rhyming dictionary?
Well, no. See, and then at that point, I think he's just looking around. He's
what like, rhymes okay. with toast?
Yeah,
he's got blow.
Okay. There's a roast. We're eating a lot of beef. Okay. Oh, wait. Does he say shh? Okay. These lyrics, I don't know if he says shh.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does?
As someone who listened to this song far too much when it initially came out, yes, I can tell you that is indeed true.
Have you listened to Tariq Meyer's Hot Sauce more or this?
This by choice, Tariq Meyer's Hot Sauce by force.
Yeah.
Well,
from one Kuya Zanvakuli.
Talk about bars. Anyways,
Ghost bottle pepper service is so all hot, day. Gonna burn your mouth off.
Burn your mouth off. Blame it on the lemon twist lemon vodka.
Lyricist.
It's great. Okay, bottle service all day. We stay VIP, serve the finest lobster, like Seb on day three. Seb's his friend.
Yes, got it. Wasn't in the show, so.
Okay, yep, whatever.
Nope, never referenced. No idea what he saw you out.
Honestly, we're kind of falling off here. I just wanted to. Okay, things get hot. Take a paddle to the sea and lock the door to freedom like my Florida key. Doors have keys. Florida key. Cool. Very, very good. On the jet ski, the vitamin D. What happens on the island stays in Fiji.
Vinaka.
Yes. Don't you can't forget the Vinaka.
Don't knock the Vinaka.
Part of being a good rapper is knowing ad libs, baby. You gotta have good ad libs. You gotta have like lots of hype and stuff in the back. It's not about what you're saying. It's about what you're shouting in the background. All right. Thank you very much. This has been my book report on Chris Noble's.
Well done, Phil.
Rap. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Big job.
All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners of the podcast. Of course, every week we get submissions from the listeners and we go through. Jared V says, how would you rank Adam and Wendell among Survivor duos? Are they the best?
Who else we got? Who else we got? Just off the dome.
Steven and JT, I mean, Colby Tina. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're certainly the most
Robin
evenly
Amber.
Matched.
Yeah.
Numerically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty iconic. I think when people think about Ghost Island and especially because of the tie, right? It's always about their relationship. I would say Token Sheens is probably the closest season where it's all about that relationship. Yeah. It's about right. JT and Steven.
By the way, we'll get to some of our questions here tonight, and then the rest I will get to over the weekend. The great Will from America will join me on the patron feedback show to answer these questions and more over the next couple days. We'll do that on Friday. robswebsite.com/patron if you want to check that out. In every week, we'll do an extra feedback show to answer more questions. Okay. John in DC said, I asked you previously at the time if this season would play better on a rewatch because Dom and Wendell's march to the end is an all-time great story arc and there wouldn't be week-to-week frustrations or no one resisting. Josh said no. You said the lack of anyone overcoming adversity hurts. What do you think? I was wrong. It's better.
Wow. Very big of you, Rob, to admit that.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I agree. I think knowing the outcome is it actually kind of helps. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's annoying to watch, but like once you know that Wendell's going to win, it's like, okay, well, like let's look at what he did well, and it's more fun to watch that.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of times with Survivor, like we could sort of like see in the edit, okay, this is probably where it's going. And then to do like a week of podcasts, like, do you think Laurel is going to flip next week? It's like, well, probably not. Like, like sometimes it's just, there's not a million things to talk about. And this was a season where it was top heavy in terms of like, okay, we only know about Laurel, Donathan, Dom and Wendell and Kellen. And it's like, okay, well, do you think that Angela and Seabass and Chelsea are going to get together and make no, like, no, we have no idea who these people are. They're not getting to the end.
We can list three facts about them. Total. That's not individual. Total.
Yeah. So it was like,
and if that did happen, it would be way worse. It would be worse.
The only question every single week was, wait, what do you think? Would Laurel flip next week?
Yeah.
But then and, the flip and that happens, and I'm like, oh,
But see, like, that's part of the reason why I think for the B&B especially, it was still fun, because we talk less about the strategy. We just have fun with the silliness. And so that's why I remembered the season so fondly. So now coming back from maybe even a little bit more of a strategic perspective, I can see how frustrating that would have been. But it is nice on a bench. It is nice on a bench.
Okay. This is an interesting question. I don't know if it has ever been asked before. Charlene wants to know, if Laurel and Donathan did take out Wendell and Dominic, who wins, Laurel or Donathan?
Laurel probably.
I think Donathan probably wins.
Who's with them? Who's with them?
Say, all right, Laurel, Donathan, and
Angela.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, way better season, actually, now you mentioned. I think you're right, unfortunately. Even though I've seen Laurel doing a lot more of the heavy lifting in that part.
Yeah,
I think Donathan is just more of
Donathan has a sadder story, where even Sia wants to give him money in the finale just for being there.
I think also if Donathan doesn't have that kind of meltdown towards the end, also it makes him much more palatable if he's able to like make the move and then be able to go to the end. And there's really no negatives there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Also, the jury was too mean to Laurel that they were they opened up. They were like, you have Dominic and Wendell sitting there. They open up the final tribal council and are like going into like Laurel's like, yeah, like these guys wouldn't have got here without me. I saved them. And they're like, no, you didn't, Laurel.
Shut up, Laurel.
Yeah, you did.
What do you mean to Laurel?
Didn't you know that they were going to win if they got to the end? Like, okay. This is Kobayashi Maru for Laurel. No good. No good outcome. All right. Michael M says, what was the best and worst Ghost Island visit? We talked about the best one. It's probably Chris Noble. Any calls on the worst Ghost Island visit?
It's Jenna, right?
Jenna's was boring for sure. Kellen says no, which was sad.
She goes a second time and says yes.
Right.
Redemption.
Seabass's was so stupid because he had 3 out of 4 chance to get something. It was like Ghost Island was just like, going out of business sale. We're just handing out stuff.
And also, Seabass was so stupid because he goes to Ghost Island at the final 7 and he goes, you have gotten the extra vote that Michaela didn't see that got used against Michaela and then got turned into a extra vote at tribal council. And then Kellen in this season misplayed the extra vote. You brought back a vote from your own season. Like, stop it. This is not a thing. Stop. This is not cursed. Stop. Do not bring it back again and put it into circulation.
I was hoping after that happened that Dominic's fake shell idol somehow made its way to Ghost Island and became a real idol somehow.
Stop it. Stop. No, don't bring the idol back in the same season.
No rules.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's see. Tubby Lunchboxes. Who do you think would be candidates for a potential Second Chances 2 season? You know, let's talk about all-stars here of who should come back. This is one of the most recent seasons, so I do think that there are a lot of people here viable for second chances. Dom Abate has to play again.
No question.
Enough.
Yes.
Enough.
100%.
Yeah, no question.
You're waiting too long. Laurel, I don't think, I don't think that they're looking for her to play again, and I don't think she wants to play again. Her life is fine.
I mean, I completely understand that, especially from fan reception and
Okay, and stop me if you're disagreeing on anything. Angela, no. Probably no.
No, thank
Rob.
You.
Rob, come on.
Come on. All right. What about Donathan?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, I think that like they might bring him back just because I think he was revered by the casuals.
Phil,
sure.
When they did the Survivor at 40 special, like there was a whole feature on Donathan. Survivor loves Donathan.
They do. I mean, I can understand why but I just don't know if it's the right move for him. I'm just imagining he comes back and now all of a sudden he's the villain or something like that. He completely changes the public perception of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens.
All right. Kellen.
I would do. I mean, I'm into
winner like, of Survivor Sequester.
Winner of Survivor Sequester.
That's right.
Yeah. I kind
of
thought
I would be interested in seeing her again. I don't think she's necessarily the top of my list, but if someone was like, "Yeah, Kellen," I'd be like, "Yeah, okay, Kellen." Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have thought she was like a no doubter right after the season. I'm not sure as much anymore, but I think she's still up for it.
And I want to see what she does in a different situation, right? Because it was just sort of like the one narrative, and she was going through a different, you know, a certain point in time in her life. And so now with a couple years afterwards, I would like to see what Kellen looks like as a player.
I think that it would be interesting to see her play again, because I kind of feel like that this first time around where Jeff is like, Kellen, like, what is this like? It's like, Jeff, you know, it's like we're at an amusement park and on a roller coaster. And then this is the part where we're upside down. Like, she's like such like a nice, like, I kind of feel like she'd be a little more jaded second time around.
I hope so.
Like, Jeff, what do you think it's like right now?
What do you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was such a go-to person at all the tribal councils. Michael Yerger, again, you would think that if you would ask me the night of it, like, oh, Michael Yerger, he's probably going to play in the next season.
Mm-hmm. Like, for sure.
Yes.
The Andrea, male Andrea, I don't know, like a young player who they're just so excited about. They want to see back. But now I have neither seen nor heard from Michael, so who knows?
Mm-hmm. Maybe if they do Millennials versus Gen Z.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Julia
Sokolowski.
Oh my God. Sokolowski. Yet Will Wall.
Is she a millennial now?
Keith. Oh, no, Gen Z. Well, right? Oh, actually.
Don't you always have been a millennial? Well, you grow into your millennial hood.
Right? Like, she's.
Right. So at the time,
She was like 19, like 5 years ago. I don't know.
So she'd probably be a millennial. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a cusper.
Yeah.
I'm 26. I'm a cusper.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever.
But yeah, Michael Yerger. I don't know.
I thought he was super scrappy. You know, I mean, maybe kind of, you know, cookie cutter, whatever.
Yeah, she's 24 years old, Julia Sokolowski.
Young guy, whatever. But like, you know, I don't know. I really thought he fought for his life a lot in this game. He didn't give up, you know. I like that in a player. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad.
All right, Chris Noble. Really. Will Chris Noble play again?
No, he's busy.
I know he doesn't have an Instagram account anymore as someone who used to follow him on Instagram. So
why?
I don't know.
Wait, he took it down?
Yeah, he just took it down. One day it was gone. I don't think there was no like scandal or anything like that. Just one day it was gone. I like to think he's preparing for another Survivor season, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
I think he's preparing an EP, so
watch out for that.
Yes.
You might have ghost,
Bradley. Will Bradley play again?
Oh, I mean, I want it, obviously, probably not, but wow, I would watch. I mean, I don't know, whatever.
Well, speaking of Bradley, and I forgot to bring this up earlier, had one of my favorite sort of like off screen moments of the season, which is where it was on Bradley had posted something on Instagram and a woman had replied to him and said, "Oh, you remind me of my son." And then Bradley's like, "Oh, thanks." And then the woman goes, "That wasn't a compliment. He's in prison."
Ooh.
Just like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh,
did that really just happen?
Can you imagine Bradley in prison?
Crazy.
I cannot imagine Bradley being in prison. Like, what is he? Is he like,
let's go
complain all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for like returnee season. Like, you could have freaking like, I don't know, like literally like the third boot from any season. I'd be like, oh my God, returnee season.
Cool. All right. What about Jacob Derwin?
If he was first boot, then it's like he has an in, right? But he was second boot. So I don't know if he's going to have, and like you said, he probably wouldn't do it. So.
Mm. Okay. All right. You want to hear some of the poll? We do our weekly survey of the listeners.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's check out what the listener said about Survivor Ghost Island. Then we'll tell you what we're going to do next week on the 31st best season of all time. And so we have a bunch of survey questions that we ask our listeners. And we are going to read you the results as tabulated by the tabulator, Kurt Clark. Let's see. We asked people, did you rewatch the season this week in preparation? So it tells you a little something about our survey listeners. What do you think that they said? How many percentage of the people that answered the survey rewatched the season?
Not that many.
less than half.
Yeah, less than half for sure. But 19% of the people that are answering the survey are watching the season. That's pretty. Okay. I mean, that's way more than I thought.
I was going to say like 10. So yeah. That's
passing
good.
A wide net.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm assuming that more than like 100 people answered the survey. All right. So who in this season is the MVP?
How do you give it to one person?
Ranking like, is arbitrary and determined.
Yeah, it's arbitrary and reductive, guys. Mm-hmm. We can't do that.
I don't know.
I mean, my personal MVP is Chris Noble, but yes. That's just right. Because of all the other meme moments, not because... Right.
Like, I have a different scale than everybody. Like, right. I'm going to always say Chris Noble.
Right. So, I mean, was it Dominic?
It was Dominic. And it was actually Dominic by a lot. I was very surprised. 55.9% of the vote said Dominic was the MVP. Only 31% said Wendell was the MVP. Wrong answer, everybody. 50-50. That's it. Somebody got 3%. Somebody got 3% of the votes. Can you guess who it is?
Who did?
So one person got 3% of the vote. That was the third highest.
Oh,
that was the third highest?
Yes, was 3%.
Oh, wow.
And that's Chris Noble, right?
Chris Noble. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What one-time player would you most like to come back and see play again?
Dominic?
Dominic, yes. Right? He had 57%. Who was second?
That was so easy.
Who was second?
Second.
Kellen?
It was Kellen. 10.9%. For Callen. And then third is Michael Yerger, 6%.
Yes, that Michael Yerger bump.
What name on the list did you look at and say, wait, who's that?
Okay. For me, well, it's Chelsea. It's going to be Chelsea, right? Well, no, because that's a big game. Because people remember Chelsea because she wasn't on. So I'm going to say Morgan.
I would say Stephanie Gonzalez.
Oh.
Neither?
No, Phil. I thought Phil was going to get talked out of it. It was Morgan Rickey.
Oh, Morgan.
Yes. That happened to me. I was like, who is Morgan Rickey? And then I forgot she was like a big...
People said she was going to be the new Kim Spradlin.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I remember because Mike and I both made her our winner pick.
Yes.
And then we're both like devastated she went up
18.5% for Morgan Rickey Libby. Mm-hmm. I am the Libster. That she was second with 12.7% and Stephanie Gonzalez with 12.6%. Who's the most underrated player on the season?
I
want to think that like the Laurel fans came out and they were like, look, Laurel's underrated,
Laurel
but I
snap.
Just don't know if there's enough of them to do that.
I'll say Laurel. No, I'll say it. Whatever.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You're right. 21.7% said Laurel.
Come on, Laurel fans.
Just under 20% said Kellen and 13.7% said Michael Yerger.
I wonder if that's that same same people.
Okay.
Want to see him play again.
Who got the Kelly Wentworth Award for the best pre-merge boot?
I remember everybody talking about Stephanie at the time, but you also have a lot of competition with Jacob there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with Jacob.
Jacob's not in the top three.
Personally, for me, I'm going to have to say it's Bradley
Clegg. Bradley Clegg. He is second with 26.3%. It was Stephanie Johnson with 27.
I'm butchering everyone's last name.
That's fine. So. That's fine. James Lim was third. So justice for James. Okay.
Justice for James.
The merge tribe name. Does anybody remember what it is?
Navulu or something?
It's Levita.
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 Oh, okay.
Not Levita, BB Can 4.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. What a poll. That was rated 5.5 out of 10, right in the middle. So this is an interesting question. Out of the 40 seasons, where would you rank the winner of this season? One being the top, 40 being the worst. Where do you think the average was?
I think probably somewhere in the middle. I think because of like the fact that it was a tied vote and you had Dominic, who was such a strong player as well. Price is right. I'm going to go like smack in the middle. I'm going to go 20.
All right, Philly, higher or lower?
Wait, how does Price is Right work? I go 21 and win. Right?
Yeah. Right? Well, what you think? It's, you think
it's 21 or 19?
All right. So you think you're higher? You think that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that Wendell is?
I'll go 19. I'll cut her off 19.
19. Yeah. Give it to Phil. It's 18 and a half.
Okay.
That's way too low for Wendell. I haven't updated my winner rankings for the 30s, but I mean. People are factoring in, oh, Wendell went out at the merge in Winners at War. That did Wendell make a mistake the entire game? I mean, that he basically, like, you know, people used to say that JT played a perfect game. Other than the Morgan Rickey vote, well, Wendell didn't make a mistake the entire game.
I think he didn't make a mistake, and he was having to pick up Dominic's mistakes, like clean up his mistakes.
And he had a great partner in Dominic. And so that sort of probably like inflates how we think like Dominic is probably a better player than he might actually be because of like the halo effect from Wendell. And Wendell probably came in as a little bit better because of everything that Dominic brought to the table. Like sort of like it's a mastermind of two heads are better than one. But still. Like too low on Wendell to be the 18th 18th best player. Stop it. So 18th best winner. Get out of here. Okay.
I agree.
I think he's right around the top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah. 10-ish. Yeah, I think I would say probably around like the 10-12 area.
Yeah. I mean, if you talk about Dominic gameplay, right, and then you look at everything he's done, yeah, I could see that.
Cuz people are just too low on Wendell because Dominic got 5 votes. Yeah,
right.
Like, oh, he had to go to overtime to win. Yeah, but he played a great in a different season. Yeah, you know, he might have got 1-9-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
I could see it.
All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that if you're looking at like strategy, he has a lot of good plans. He found idols. He was able to do survival stuff, make the fire, win challenges. You know, social relationships. So where's the hole in his game?
I think because people forget that he also had an idol, that he won those individual immunities, that he won the final fire making challenge for whatever that's worth. He has all of these other sort of flashy accolades. He gave away his immunity idol because he didn't freaking need it. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. That's flashy. It's just compared to Dominic.
Forget Winners at War. What else do you want from your winner?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Come on.
You're spinning facts. Come on.
Like
wake up, Canada, right, Phil?
Wake up, Canada.
Wake up, Canada.
All right.
Thank you.
Is this season too low, too high, or just right? Too low, too high, or just right? I must say the answers.
Obviously, I think it's too low. Yeah. But I don't know if I agreed with everybody else.
I'm also a too low guy, but I'm also judging based on, you know, biases. Yeah. So I know, like I can't be taken seriously. I can't be taken seriously.
Yeah. Okay. So the audience said that this was too low, 44%, 36% said just right, and too high, 19.5%. Okay. All right. Let me look at my season rankings. I haven't looked at this today yet. Of where would I put this? But I think this is going to be high. That for me, it's between this or the Edge of Extinction. Let me just talk it through in my head for a second here. I feel like that the Edge of Extinction really only had one boring episode, which was like the first time Rick Devins goes out. I think is kind of a snoozer. I would say this has more boring episodes, but a more satisfying conclusion. I know. What do you think, Phil?
Rob, this is where you factor in the Chris Noble effect, and you just push it right to the top, baby. Let's go!
All right, say this. I'll say this was the best season I've watched. And maybe your mileage may vary on a first watch, but here on the binge. Like, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen.
It hits on a binge.
Yeah.
It hits on a binge.
It was fine. It was fine.
Tattoo it on me.
Yeah. So
let's go.
Yeah. I think the Edge is like overall a better cast that if we're going to go like one, two, I think Edge of Extinction might be an 18 person cast also, I think. But that being said, Like, or maybe it's 20. I don't ask me right now. But anyway, but like, so it's more top heavy on Ghost Island. But I think that when you walk away with a Dom and Wendell tie, ultimately over Chris Underwood coming back from the edge of extinction, give me this. Give me Ghost Island.
Two iconic finales for sure, but yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to hear this. This like warms my heart, especially when Chappelle. Oh, you're not gonna like it more than Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
All right, Chappelle. Well, let me give you my updated list of the 9 seasons I've watched here in 2020. The best season is Ghost Island.
Boom.
Best Woo! Season. Second best season is The Edge of Extinction. The third best season is Survivor Nicaragua. The fourth best season was Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. The fifth best season is Survivor Worlds Apart. The sixth best season is Survivor One World. The seventh best season was Survivor Island of the Idols. The eighth best season was Survivor Redemption Island. The ninth best season is Survivor Thailand. And this is my biggest take of all. Survivor is better on a binge. That's why Jeff Probst is hiking up Paramount Mountain. That's why it's a hit on Netflix. You're supposed to watch the whole season in 2 days.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? You know, to love Survivor is to watch it in like 3.5 days. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the ideal viewing. And then the stuff that's like, wait, why did that happen? You just move on. You don't think about that.
Yeah, who cares? Come on. That was an hour ago's problem. That's not, right. We're not still on this.
Who cares? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, you don't have a whole week to be salty about something. It's
right.
Anything else to say about Survivor Ghost Island?
I'm just happy to hear you be so positive about it, Rob, really. Like a season that I remember when we're talking about, oh, which one would I potentially be interested in? I was like, Ghost Island for sure. I for sure want to talk about Ghost Island wherever it ends up ranked, because it means so much to me. And this was such a pleasure to go through and to rewatch the whole thing and view it knowing the outcome.
I didn't think I was going to be that high on it when I was going back to watch it. I was like, oh, okay. I felt like, oh, it's a better pre-merge than post-merge. But I actually enjoyed the post-merge a lot better.
Good.
Especially the post-merge on a binge. I don't know. It's just like, I really, like, I just think there's not a ton of meat on the bone in these modern seasons. And then when you're going through it so fast, it's like, you're just like, nom, 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 nom. It's fine. It's more filling.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know, just don't pay attention to what you're eating, whether or not you can taste it, and you're full. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Maybe this is the case to not make 7 podcasts about one episode of Survivor, but that's that's a fall problem. That's a fall question.
Let's not get out of control here.
Yeah, all right. Hold on.
All right.
Okay, and now also my final word on the season is,
Ghost Island. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes. Okay. We did get the preview for the next season of Survivor. It was going to be David versus Goliath. Got to see our old friend Christian Hubicki back on the screen for a minute. But that is not what we're going to talk about next week. That is not going to be the 31st best season of Survivor. Leona, do you have a guess?
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's the South Pacifics that are somehow slipping by that everyone keeps wondering where they are. So, you know what? That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with South Pacific. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay.
South Pacific. Sorry. All right. Phil, who you got?
Okay. So, I'm a people pleaser. I lurk the threads. Okay. The people want Game Changers, Rob. Where is it? They want. Okay.
All right. That's Phil's pick. The 31st best season of Survivor. Phil nailed it. It's Game Changers. It's Game Changers. Can we reverse the curse of Michaela's misplayed advantage? Yes.
Oh,
okay.
God.
So next Wednesday, be back. Grace Leader and Asia Welch will join me as I'm actually really looking forward to going back to Game Changers, because it ended and I said, get out of here. I don't want to watch it again. But I think it'll be interesting to go back and look at it.
I think so. No, fire making, right? There's to go back to the old era of Survivor before all of these things.
It's not as recent It'll be interesting to see. Like, I feel like that the really like the 31, 32, 33, 34 I've been looking forward to on this rewatch, because I feel like it's like far enough away. It's like pre-Wandoff that I'm interested in going back. Like it's not ancient. Like, I was still doing the podcast during that time, so I'm looking forward to going back and seeing what is going on there with Survivor Game Changers. Get to see Officer Sarah on her run, Advantage Geddon, Sandra 3.0, Tony, the Green Monster, and everything going on in Survivor Game Changers.
No.
Yes. Click.
No!
Yes. Okay. And then Hudson Kurkowski will be on the Patron Feedback Show next weekend. And after next week, hey, I'm 25% of the way there.
Look at
you. Wow.
It will be my 10th Survivor season of 2021. I'm not okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on RHAP. All right. While we were recording tonight, usually we had been live the past 7 or 8 weeks. And tonight, it was Taryn Armstrong who was live with Melissa Denny and Asia Welch, who will join me next week to talk about Survivor Game Changers. It was the Big Brother Canada 9 premiere. We can't wait to watch it. If you did, check out what Taryn, Melissa, and Asia had to say about the night number one of Big Brother Canada. And then, of course, Taryn will be back again for Thursday's Big Brother Canada live after the episode. Of course, earlier this week, I've been talking through 90 Day Fiance with the great Pooya Zamvakili, and we had a lot of fun going through. It was just Pooya and I solo this week, Liana.
Aw, it's a couple that I can root for as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Phil, you ever check out 90 Day Fiance?
Oh, yeah. I got sucked in this season. We are a couple episodes behind, but it's the best show on TV. It's the best show on TV.
Whoa.
I love it.
Okay.
It's my favorite thing. My favorite.
All right. Then, of course, we've got more coming up. Oh, this week on Talking with T-Bird, Todd Herzog joined T-Bird and myself. We certainly talked Survivor China, which is nowhere in sight, over on our season countdown. We also talked about Todd's battle against alcohol and how he has overcome it on the latest Talking with T-Bird. Check that out over at robiswebsite.com. And then, of course, I had a great time on Tuesday night. Mike Bloom and I did the Paramount Mountain Brand Steal. If you remember, during the Super Bowl, Jeff Probst and other intellectual property hiked up Paramount Mountain. We did a brand steal of a bunch of characters that were in those Super Bowl commercials. I highly recommend you check out one of my favorite brand steals of all time with myself and the co-host of the RHAP B&B, Mike Bloom. Check that out over at robiswebsite.com. Okay, and then, oh, I'll be back. I got to watch Tough as Nails later on tonight. Phil Kogan, I believe, will be back with us this week, back with Mike and Jess and myself as we talk about episode number 4 already of Tough as Nails season 2, all right? And then, beginning of a new month, great time to jump in. Check out everything we have going on over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Access to all of our patron feedback shows, the patron 5 for 5, and much more going on in our patron community over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And be sure to follow us on social media. Of course, we are tweeting so many things that are coming out of the show over with our Twitter account at Rob as a Podcast, or on Instagram at RHAP Grams. Thank you so much for all of that. All right. So, Phil, where can people check out more of what you're doing?
Oh, wow, Rob. It's funny you ask. I am currently riding the Twitch wave.
Yeah, Phil, what are you twitching about?
So basically, I'm just like, you know, streaming the 8th perspective of the Among Us lobbies on Sunday. I've dabbled in playing some games. I don't know. I'm just kind of here for the ride right now. I don't really have a plan. But I do a show with Mr. Liana Boris every month. It's called the Banter Debrief. You can check that out on
what's
Puya's
it called
Twitch
the,
channel.
The Banter Debrief.
Yeah, you bet. So it's basically just like us having a therapy session for an hour, and then we talk about dumb stuff. We talked about Enzo's rap song.
Yeah, who's the therapist? Puya.
Yeah, No, yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. We just share our feelings. You know, we're just very, we're both very sensitive boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just comes out sometimes. It's fine. It's really fun. He's a good pal of mine. You check that out on his Twitch channel. Also, Jenny and I, if you enjoyed my rap breakdown of Chris Noble's lyrics, we are going live on Jenny's Twitch channel, Jenny Autumn, twitch.tv/JennyAutumn. To break down other rap songs and just to hang out.
So also, it came up on the podcast the other day that you were potentially going to do Jenny's makeup on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely down for that. I this is the first time hearing of it, but I used to, when we were long distance, I would be at work at 4 a.m. and she would be getting up for work and I would watch her do her makeup. Like, we'd be on a video call while she's getting ready.
This is a very romantic story.
Yeah, so I learned a lot. I learned about blush. I learned about...
Is this the banter debrief?
Eyeliner. I learned about... yeah, basically. Anyways, yeah. That's basically all I'm doing. Follow me on Twitter at Fillard and Instagram at Fillard. And that's all my things, I think. Oh, and also, I eat food seductively on OnlyFans. That's OnlyFans.com/fill you up. Thank you.
All right.
Wait, what's so funny, guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. How do I follow that?
Yes.
Phil? As, I mean, Liana, I don't nearly have as good.
I've been handed a fact from our own Sam Moore. It says that statistically, okay, next week we will get to Game Changers. 6 of the bottom 10 seasons have been in the 30s.
That is statistically unlikely if the quality of the seasons was spread evenly.
Yes.
And and I think it's so interesting because everybody talks about the 20s, the middle of the 20s was of
the
Survivor,
dark ages
was
of
so
Survivor.
Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, the dark ages, exactly. So, and so the fact that 6 are in the 30s is wild.
If you're following along at home, that means Second Chances, Co Wrong, Millennials versus Gen X. It looks like Survivor had a little bit of a run there of 31 like 31, 32, 33, all, and then a little bit of a that David versus Goliath again is the other outlier there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, that's interesting.
Yeah, Rob, I don't know who these hooligans voting on these polls are, but my Survivor experience over the last few years has been elevated because of RHAP. So,
thank you, Phil.
Let the haters hate on these seasons. I love the 30s because, you know, it brought me it brought me all this enjoyment from the podcast.
Well, thank you, Phil. And that's why we say it's the 31st best season of Survivor, because
exactly.
even the ones that have been bad have been, you know, even this was the 32nd best. And this was a lot of fun. All right, Liana, what do you have coming up?
So you can first you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Of course. Like Rob mentioned at the start of the show, I'm doing the Drag Race podcast with Amon and Beth. We're doing both audio and video versions. So if you want to check out the YouTube video, you can do that as well. And then Puya and I will be back.
By the way, RuPaul appears in the Survivor Paramount Mountain Brand Steel.
I have just started. I haven't finished the cast. RuPaul must be on the other tribe.
RuPaul is on the Viacom tribe.
Okay, yes, not on the CBS tribe. Okay,
yes.
Great. Excited to see who I'm going to end up rooting for there. I'm actually very excited to listen. But anyway, yeah, speaking of RuPaul, you can also check out our podcast. And then Puya and I will be back to talk about the Masked Singer, which will be back in 1 week. So then I think we're going to be doing a preview special once the costumes come out. There's one which is the Russian nesting doll.
Oh.
No idea how that's going to work. Are there multiple people inside the costume? I don't know. It's always a wild, super, super fun, super silly ride. And I highly recommend checking that out as well.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be like sort of like a big, like waisted bottom and then like more of like a narrow top.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a nesting doll.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but are there multiple dolls inside? I don't know.
Are there multiple masks on when they take the
people? Yeah, exactly.
When they take,
that's going to be a fun. It's going to be
a fun reel.
Take it multiple times.
Yeah, for like 2 minutes straight.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Okay. All right. Of course, and follow at Liana RHAP as well. All right. This was really, really fun tonight. I hope that people are enjoying these podcasts. I've gotten a lot of great feedback about the series. So hopefully if you're listening to this, you enjoyed what we have going on. Looking forward to talking to the great Will from America over the weekend about additional feedback questions. Lots of great stuff coming up. So check out everything on robinswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too, because you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.